Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 The Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the bulldozer Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Abbott, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in Alabama.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
The shit is bananas.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of their cowboy guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doc, you homie. Fuck that. Black me. Ow.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Wednesday, August 1st, 2012. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris, as always, and should be joined shortly by my guest co-host for the night, Anthony Missionary Thomas of the Wrestling Soup. So I'm just hanging on waiting for him. Beyond that, you know, we're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to go over the Raw thing. They got some indie stuff to talk about, some you know, random in the world of news stuff to talk about, and we'll be getting to that in just a minute. Let me see. All right. Well, what should I start out with? Well, I have to wait till tomorrow to watch TNA. They've kind of been on somewhat of a roll lately, you know, doing the X Division thing. Of course, I think the main card is still, like, you know, kind of a clusterfuck, but, you know, what can you do? You know, the main event, all that's still littered with people who need to retire, but isn't the WWE too? So, I, you know, what can you do? I'm hoping they continue to do stuff with Geez or Rashad Cameron, whatever you want to call him, Sanjay, Jigsaw, or Rubix, or whatever the fuck they renamed him. Now they got a lot of talent over there, doing some stuff, and, yeah, hopefully they could actually make the show entertaining again, whether it be, hopefully, you know, that mid-card will overshine whatever they're doing wrong on the top of the card, and it won't make any difference. WCW did that a lot for years, you know, with, you know, the Cruiserweight division was just tearing it up. And then, you know, you had your main events and your Stings and Nashes, but it really didn't matter because you already had, you know, the Ultimo Dragon and, you know, Blitzkrieg matches and crazy stuff like that. So I think it could still be worth watching if they focus enough on that X Division to make it worthwhile for the actual wrestling fans, not just nostalgia people. So, well, I don't want to jump ahead of myself. Waiting on Mish. So I guess, and I do this all the time, I tease playing a song and then they call in. So I guess we'll do that. I'm gonna play a song, and then hopefully by the time the song's over, I'll have Mish on the line, and we can get this started talking about all sorts of different things. I don't want to jump ahead and then have to rehash everything with him, but check out this Vinnie Paz joint, and hopefully when I get back, Mish will be on the line. All right.
Did a law meditate and create his birth? Is every day in this place a curse? Or should I pray on my knees and embrace his dirt? I don't know if there's a reason I'm here. I think the only thing that's driving me is reason and fear. And seeing death to me conceivably near. So I don't give a fuck what you think about me reaching for beer. I don't worry anymore about what my friends do. I have a more urgent matter to attend to. Is there something there bigger when I die and vanish that weaves everyone and everything into a canvas? I'm not smart enough to think I have a resolution. I'll never be a man with mediocre constitution. My pop told me that blood and power intoxicate, and that tyranny is a product of his father's hate. Run yeah. on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Recognize the guilt and the sins of the father, and recognize what's built and what stems from the author. Understand man is not a machine. He needs a surface and a purpose and a reason for being. Either way, I'm gonna stick with my fam, regardless if that's a dream of a ridiculous man. And I'm becoming more indifferent every day. So naturally, all of the feelings are fading away. Some of the things that I said, I hated to say. But blame yourself, motherfucker, you made it this way. I don't think I would, even if I was able to stay. I don't think you could, I would sit to the angels and pray. But everybody gotta deal with they self. If they cut another throat for the material wealth. If it's a problem, are you mad enough to deal with the hell? Or are you destined for the darkness of concealing yourself? Yeah, yeah. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Trying to deal with 34 years spent in prison. Not the physical, because of existentialism. Back myself into a previously dead position. When all I ever had to do was just repent and listen. Why can't everybody leave me alone? I'm the only one who really needs to see that I've grown. You ain't smart enough to see what I know. Like I stab myself and let me fucking bleed till I go. But I'm too scared what would happen on the other side. Trying to fight the good fight, how many of us died? I don't know if I trust the people that hang with me. Is it God or is it the Big Bang Theory? I know some really good people and they slang near me. But I don't think that karmically that they should hang really. 34 years, I don't have peace yet. And I ain't get out of the belly of the beast yet. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Can't run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
There you go, some Vinnie Paz, man. I just caught that. I kind of got, behind schedule on a lot of stuff with that, with music and whatnot, and just got his new, but from earlier this year mixtape, and yeah, that shit is crazy. Vinnie Paz, I like that dude. He's intense. And, yeah, man, so I still don't have Mish on the line just yet, so I'm waiting on Mish. You know, have patience, because believe me, he'd be on already if it was up to me. So I don't, you know what I mean? I don't know what's going on there, so don't blame me. Just hang in there. So anyway, on the 1st and 2nd of September, which, man, you know, we're already in August now, and, you know, a month from now, football season will be starting. I know I got some overseas listeners, so they don't understand exactly what I'm talking about. The you're allowed to touch it with your hands football will happen in about a month, and I couldn't be more hyped, man. I'm such a football fan. And, I'm looking forward to that. You know, in a month, I'll have my 8-year-old daughter will be 9. Time flies like crazy. And a month later, I'll have 3-year-old twins instead of 2. So, a lot of stuff's going fast, man. The summer's escaping me really, really quick. And I like the heat. I know a lot of people can't stand it. Just like the basketball teams. They don't like the heat. And I personally am good with it. And I don't like when it's over humid and I can't breathe and shit. But other than that, I'll take the heat any day, man. I hate that cold shit. Just doesn't do well with me. So I don't know. That's that. But anyway, like I was saying, September 1st and 2nd, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla is doing their Best of LA tournament. And they already have like a lot lined up for it, man. And it's crazy. You know, 2-night tournament out in Reseda, California. And they already have, I think, all the first round matches lined up already. You got Adam Cole taking on El Generico. You got Michael Elgin taking on Davey Richards. Ricochet taking on Kevin Steen. Eddie Edwards against Kyle O'Reilly. Sammy Callahan against Willie Mack. TJ Perkins against Joey Ryan. B-Boy versus Brian Cage. Roderick Strong versus Drake Younger. I mean, that to me is one hell of a first round. I don't know what I could say negatively about that. That is one hell of a first round lineup right there, and it's obviously a 2-night tournament, so you're going to see that breakdown a lot of really big matchups. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, they pretty much book supercards monthly. When they run shows, they run them to count. There's really not a lot of build shows that they run. It's more or less supercard after supercard. You get the top indie talent out there, you know, just about every week. Not every week, every month, you know, they go out there and they put on the top product that you could possibly imagine. So, you know, you get a chance. I'm obviously nowhere near California. I'm in Jersey, but, and you know, of course the overseas listeners are clearly even further, but if you can pick up one of their DVDs or something, you'll probably see what I'm talking about. Some really, you know, fast paced, good wrestling. I do like the deathmatch style. They don't do a lot of the deathmatch style, but you know, that's fine. There's so many companies across the United States that does just the pure wrestling, and I enjoy those very, very much. And they are, in my opinion, the best that are doing it out there right now. So yeah, I look forward to seeing that. You know, the DVD comes out and all that. They really, I don't know. Let me check their site, because I haven't seen any talk of them doing iPay-per-views just yet, which is crazy because it seems like every company out there is doing iPay-per-views, and they're a company that is just running stellar shows. They've been around since, I believe, 2001. And, I would really, really love – I would happily pay for their iPay-per-views every month. And, you know, whatever else is booked that day is just going to have to, you know, hope that they put on a good enough show review-wise for me to buy the DVD, because – man, I'll get that Pro Wrestling Guerrilla every month on iPay-per-view if they offer it to me. But, so far ain't happening. So that's that. B-Boy is supposedly really, really pushing to reinvent himself since he's moved back to California. And he's never been one of those guys that's been in the gym and all that stuff. And now he's really locking in, and he's, you know, he's cutting down. And he's really, really, like, seems driven to do some big things and actually – completely reinvent his name. Where B-Boy, you know, there was a good portion where on the independent circuit he was, you know, everything that was being talked about on the East Coast, and he's looking to reinvent himself and make that the same thing that's going on his home turf of the West Coast now in 2012. So I'm happy for him. Drake just moved out to California, so he's probably going to be a main roster guy over there. You know, big fan of Drake. So, yeah, it's, you know, something to look forward to amongst many things in the months of September, as far as I'm concerned. Really, really no Mish still. He does know that there's a, you know, a time difference between Chicago and I don't know. What else do I got? Oh, Davey Richards apparently stiffed the promoter. They went and the name of the promotion escapes me, but they went out to a promotion and they were supposed to work. I think it was him, Kyle O'Reilly, and who's the other guy? I'm so good with facts. Shit. Let me see. Let me look it up. This is great radio. Tony Cozina. That's who. So, yeah, they had those guys out there, and they showed up at the show and apparently got paid and then said, yeah, you know, we just need to go run and get some wrist tape. We're all out of wrist tape. And they're like, all right. And then they more or less did that, like, you know, dad went to the store for a pack of cigarettes and never came back move, and kept the promoter's money. I mean, that's the majority of what I've heard from it. I could be wrong. There could be, you know, newer news that came out of it or something like that. I'm really unaware of anything further than that. But, yeah, it seems like he more or less beat the promoter, which is usually the other way around, where the wrestlers get beat. And, you know, yes, Anthony in the chat is saying Mish is probably napping, which is, you know, we learned on Two Moms, One Show last night that, yeah, that's Mish kind of just passes out. Tink even played him snoring on the air while their show was happening. So, but, yeah, well, let's hope he, you know, gets that second win and calls in and, you know, we'll rehash some of the stuff I've said, but then, you know, some other stuff hopefully to, you know, hopefully gonna, you know, pop up any minute. It's always a strange thing when you expect another person on and then it's, they're not there. It's, you know, you don't want to cover everything. You don't want to, you know, breeze over everything and have them come on and just say everything again with a second opinion. But, you know, pretty much what I got to do. So, little by little, I'll get through this. Johnny Ace is supposedly out of the talent relations position. And they were even speculating different things on Monday about, hold on, Anthony in the chat room is asking me what football, quote-unquote football, because he's from overseas, team is worth watching. Well, I'm a diehard 49er fan, so that's my guys. You know, we got five rings to our credit. You know, one under the top ring-holding people out there. Yeah, man, it's pretty exciting because we were just a horrible team for I don't know how many years, probably at least eight years, really not a contender. And just we were getting good draft picks and stuff like that. And just we'd look good for maybe a quarter to two quarters out of the game. And then the rest of the game just tank. So it was really brutal seeing such, you know, an elite team such as my guys who used to show up in the playoffs every year be abysmal. Maybe break 500 at the end of the year, but when you never even reach the playoffs, 500 doesn't matter anymore. And honestly, our division has been pretty horrible throughout time. Basically have the Cardinals, the Seahawks, and the Rams to contend with. And if you can't come out on top of that division, then you clearly don't deserve to. So that's my thing. He says he's going to try to get into football. Oh, I got Nick Two Scoops Russell in the chat. So that's cool. While I'm talking about football, he's got a show coming up later tonight, I believe. Yeah, man, we're going to be off the chain, man. Chilling. I'm just trying to, you know, get through time, waiting for Mish. He may be sleeping. I'm not positive. But in the meantime, I was asked about what is good about American football. So I'm trying to go through that. And if you want to throw up your link or whatever in the chat, Nick, I'll happily plug it. You know, so, but what I'm saying is I'm really, really excited about my Niners. We were, you know, one or two plays away from Super Bowl. And, you know, coming off of what we were, our coach really snapped our guys into line. Our defense was beastly, but we also had, you know, Alex Smith, who was a complete bust as our quarterback. Our coach was able to find his strengths. 1 year in, the coach was able to find that guy's strengths and make him usable, like actually usable on the field. So that's something I never thought I'd say about Alex Smith. And I couldn't be happier. Now, in the offseason, we've signed Randy Moss, who, you know, he's one of those guys, is hard to deal with, but many times he was considered one of the best receivers in the league. So you can only hope that he's humbled himself at this point. And we got a, you know, very, yeah, we got Brandon Jacobs too. You know, he was a running back for the Giants. We got Mario Manningham, which in my opinion, if you were to judge the Super Bowl MVP on one play, I think Mario Manningham would have got that MVP. But of course you give it to the quarterback that was throwing the ball all day. So, you know, no hate there, but to get a guy who made an MVP status play on the Super Bowl added to your receiving core, I'm all for it. And pickups are guys that weren't on your team, and now they're on your team. So that's what an off-season pickup is. So, yeah, that's that for football. I can't be more hyped for that. I actually won my picks pool, too, last year, so I was really, really excited about that. Never came out on top of a picks pool, point spreads and everything. So, yeah, I'm all fired up. But, yeah, okay, so beyond that, Johnny Ace is supposedly out of the talent relations job, and there's a lot of speculation on who's going to end up in that position. I believe it was Joey Numbers on Monday that said Tommy Dreamer. I have to side with that 100%. Reason being is that every time that Tommy Dreamer was off of WWE TV or even behind the scenes, he was working a lot of indies. So he was seeing a lot of talent out there. He's definitely a big supporter of Sami Callihan, who's, you know, I'm a huge fan and friend of over here. And he's just tearing it up on the indies. So for a guy who was, you know, definitely seen firsthand all of the talent that goes on within the indies and has a, you know, an open eye to it, which I don't really think Johnny Ace did unless it was presented to him. I don't know how much he saw of the indies without, you know, someone knowing someone and slipping the tape to the right person and this and that. Tommy Dreamer was actually on these shows seeing the talent that was going on. So I think you can get a lot of young talent into the WWE using a guy like Tommy Dreamer to, you know, advance that young talent from the indies to the, you know, the TV product. And you see a lot of that going on with the TNA X division, and they're starting to, I heard they, you know, they signed Pac in WWE. I mean, that's a tremendous pickup, and pickup also applies to wrestling. You see how that works? So yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing something change where it maybe, you know, gives a fresh look to the WWE, and especially developmental talent, because a lot of the guys that have just been brought into the company, they you know, just completely there was nobody on the radar that came through. Like, a lot of the people, they were just their own bred talent on the WWE scene or the WWE developmental territory. And there were guys that nobody knew about. Meanwhile, there's guys tearing it up for 10 years on the indies, and you really didn't even see these guys get a chance. So I think Tommy Dreamer can help a lot of guys out like that. Anyway, the link to the show that Nick Two Scoops Russell is doing, that's on later on tonight, is www.ustream.tv/channel/sportsden. And yeah, he does the Sports Den over there and talks a lot of sports, obviously. Strange thing to talk about on the Sports Den, but he does. He covers it all. You know, they got baseball in full swing right now, which I'm really not that big of a fan of, but obviously many, many people are, and he knows his stuff. You go over there, you check him out, you hear all the lowdown on sports, and he does his thing. So, yeah, check him out after this. What else? Oh, man, I kind of really wanted to talk to Mishy about that one. But apparently the MWF and the Wrestlers Rescue, MWF is, I forget who's that actually run by, but it's ran by somebody out there in, like, the Boston area. And Wrestlers Rescue is Dawn Marie's promotion or whatever you want to call it. And they do these fundraising things, and apparently recently they were called out by Kamala. Kamala did a little video and, you know, let everybody know that, listen, I haven't received any money from these people that are claiming to be raising money for me. They're taking in money, and I haven't seen a dime. So, like, he completely called them out on that. And, you know, that Dawn Marie's had a lot of shady stuff going on in the past with this Wrestler's Rescue, and she was non-profit, then she was profit, then she was, I mean, it's been a very sporadic, very shady operation. And now Kamala is a guy who, you know, lost both of his legs to diabetes and is obviously a guy in need of some help. And he's firsthand calling them out. And, you know, there's been speculation in the past. There's people who said this, there's people who said that. You know, people who needed help and they ended up dying. And, you know, like Michael Porter. And, you know, they ended up dying. And people who claim to help them or claim to want to be helping them or something like that, like, you know, once they're dead, I mean, it's really hard to say who proved what or who was paid what. So it's kind of an unfounded thing. But now when you have a guy who's alive, went through some stuff, and definitely needs some help, and he's clear English calling this woman out saying, hey, don't give them any money that got to do with me. And he said, if Wrestler's Rescue gets any money, you walk up there and stick it up the owners of NWF's ass. And if MWF makes some money towards me, you walk down there in Jersey and you stick it up Dawn Marie's ass. Like, he more or less just called them all out on it and said, you know, he's not begging for money. Oh, look who I got. Oh, man. Hey! Where you been?
Oh, man, I totally fucked up. I apologize. Got the time mixed up. I thought it was 9 o'clock because, like, Tink was telling me earlier, and I'm gonna shove the blame all on Tink. And she's like, and cause
my nine, not your nine.
right. I got it confused. My bad, man. Because when she tells me nine, I'm thinking my time nine.
I look at my clock. It says nine. Yeah.
And Nick just hit me up. Two Scoops just hit me up. He's like, So you doing that show with J-Cat tonight? And I'm like, yeah, I'm doing the show with J-Cat tonight. He's like, oh, really? Because you're not on.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, man. So, finally do have Anthony Missionary Thomas of the Wrestling Soup for anyone who doesn't know who I'm talking to, finally. So, anyway, I was just talking about the recent Dawn Marie and all of that situation where Kamala was calling her out.
What a piece of garbage this lady is. I mean, look, I'm not really, I mean, I guess I could. I mean, I was actually thinking about bringing up a lot of that stuff for Thursday too, but I really feel bad. Kamala's another one of those guys. You know, he doesn't have tons of money. You know, I mean, I don't know how he wasted it or anything else like that. I don't think he was one of those, you know, he wasn't an X-Pac or nothing. But,
right.
But at the same time, obviously, just got both of his legs amputated, you know, because he's diabetic. And Wrestler's Rescue, which was a fund created by Dawn Marie, originally for her sister, which helped her sister. Her sister had some sort of cancer, and they finally got her some sort of, like, surgery done in Mexico, you know, and they raised the money, and they did very well for it. But it's been riddled with holes since. You know, it's just, it's not even professional. I think it's just, and I'm just going to be bold, directly say it. It's just a straight scam. And there's so much proof behind it that I really feel bad for Kamala. And I really feel bad because none of the fucking big time, you know, your PW Torch, your Wade Kellers, your Dave Meltzers, your Brian Alvarez, none of these people will report on it. None of them will do the research. You know,
yeah.
And here you got another guy that's suffering. How much is he out? How much was there any information released on how much money Don Marie promised to help him with or anything like that this time?
No, I'm not really sure. I mean, he just pretty much said that he knows money was raised. He know it's got his name plastered all over it. It's both her and it's the MWF that's out there near Boston. Maybe Joey
right.
knows more about that. I don't know anything about the Fed, but they're another
yeah,
one that's running. You know, they're running shows with Kamala's name. Help Kamala, and he hasn't seen a dime from any one of these people. So
that's even worse, man. The fact that they're actually raising money and he either A, doesn't know about it, or B, they're not giving them the kickback. See, we did a show. Obviously, you remember it, but some of your listeners might not. We did a show way back in 2010, and there's a couple of links for it. You can find it on our
right.
site, stuff like that, where we were trying to help out Michael Porter.
Right.
And Michael Porter was a gentleman who ran various refereeing down in Texas. I think it was USWA. He ran in a bunch of places. You know, he part-time for WWF back in the, I want to say mid-'80s, late-'80s, back when... Lord Alfred Hayes was still around, you know?
Right.
And you know, he had run into some financial problems because of his medical bills. And
yeah.
Don Marie's Wrestler's Rescue said that they would help him out. They said they physically would help him out. You know, there was no problem with it. What they wanted, though, is they wanted some merchandise from Paula, and there was a couple of other people that
right.
I'll leave alone. But there was merchandise that they gave to Don Marie to auction off and to help pay for the bill. Like, people donated merchandise to Wrestler's Rescue specifically for Michael Porter. Like, for whatever she raised, it would specifically go for Michael Porter and to help
right.
out his needs. And Don Marie basically took the merchandise, took whatever profits were sold from it, and ran. Literally.
Wow.
And Michael Porter ended up passing away 6 months later. Because he didn't have the proper medicine that he needed because he could barely afford to live. I mean, I remember, and I know it sounds silly, and we even talked about it before, but, I mean, I was buying the guys Domino's pizzas because that was all I could really do
right.
via credit card. You know, that and Peapod from Jewel. They have, like, a delivery service that you can pay for by credit card. I mean, there's not too much
okay.
I can do all the way out in L.A. from Chicago.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like, PayPal wasn't accepted by everybody at that point still, you know, a lot more now, but still nonetheless. And anyways, he ended up passing away. And before all this, which is horrible in its own, she also made the same kind of promises for Captain Lou Albano. She promised for Captain Lou Albano that she was going to help the family pay for funeral coverage, for funeral services.
Right.
You know, it was a donating thing. She put up stuff on her site, put up stuff on her MySpace, and the family came out, I think it was like 2 months afterwards, and said, we haven't received a dime. We haven't received anything.
Yeah.
Dr. Death Steve Williams, she was, Wrestler's Rescue was promising to bring Dr. Death Steve Williams a voice box back when he was still alive because they wanted to help his way of life. They wanted to help comfort his way of life.
Right.
And unfortunately, Dr. Death Steve Williams passed away. And all the money that they raised, which was over $13,000, disappeared. Don't know where it went.
Yeah.
Family
yeah.
didn't receive it. No, you know what I mean? And it's like, this isn't just one case. Kamala being part of this scam isn't just one case. That's the fucking sad thing. And nobody can call her out on criminal charges about it because when I did my research, she changed. I go through a company called GuideStar, and
okay.
GuideStar is a organization that makes sure that charities are reputable. You know, they expose fraudulent charities. And
okay.
at the time, Don Marie was not registered through the IRS as I forgot what it was like a 701 or a 702, which is a non-for-profit charity.
Right.
And immediately she had that changed to a for-profit, which basically means she doesn't have to show her records to anyone.
Now, can you file under that as a for-profit and then just paste someone else's name all over it, make all the money you want, and never give them anything? Is that, I just, I feel like there's got to be an illegality to that if you're using the other person's name in order to make money. No?
Yes. That actually references into copyrights and stuff like that. When you're using somebody else's name to make money for yourself without their consent or approval, then, yeah, that's illegal. However, if they did consent to this charity, then it's up to Dawn Marie and Wrestlers Rescue as to how much they give to the person, which
right.
therein lies the fucking loophole, because she didn't give anything.
yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's hard. And Kamala, I mean, he seemed really humble about everything. He didn't seem just like bitter and disgruntled. He was talking, you know, very, you know, appreciative to everybody that even sends him an email or anything like that, you know, to give him good wishes. And, you know, and he said, you know, he also brought up Vince McMahon, and he said, you know, you did me wrong. He's like, and, you know, you only, I think he said, I forget the figure. It was something like $30 or $300 or something in like an entire year where he knew merchandise was being sold. And he said, well, listen, I mean, if the merchandise isn't being sold, which is what I'm being told, then why do they keep printing it? So,
right.
you know, he's obviously hard up, but he's like, it's not all about the money. It's about, you know, respect and just being honest about
it. About the money, though. I mean, when this guy is this bad off, Jay, man, if I had no job, two missing feet, medical bills out the... I can't even imagine how much in medical bills he has.
I know.
The respect. Give me the money. I need the money to live. That was
sure.
the problem with Michael Porter, man. It was like, fuck the respect. Fuck the past. You said you'd help me when I'm dying here. It's a horrible way to see it, but, I mean, it's the truth, and it's not just Dawn Marie. Sitch was involved. Michelle Mupo was involved. Terry
yeah.
Runnels was involved. Of which New Jack completely exposed her, although, to be fair, you know, I mean, it is New
yes.
Jack, you know,
yes, it
so it's like, it's a horrible situation that requires professional investigation. I mean, I'm just a stupid fan, what the fuck do I know? I mean, but I always looked at it as like, all the research, all the material that I pulled up, that I can still pull up, because I got it saved on my hard drives.
Right.
And I got paperwork, too. I mean, it's not like I don't have physical evidence. It's like all this stuff that I found being nothing. I can't even imagine how much an actual fraudulent, an IRS investigator would pull up. You know
oh,
what
man.
I mean? It's why it's like, why hasn't the whistle been blown? You know, why is she allowed to continue doing this? Because, and I'll tell you why, because she hasn't crossed the big numbers. She's not doing $50,000 charities. She's not doing $30,000 charities. She's doing like $10,000, $15,000 charities, which is just enough to get away with murder.
But now also, do you think now when, I don't know, has an actual wrestler or a person come out personally? I know, you know, the representatives and people, you know, who cared about them have come out to expose her. Has anyone came out personally that was supposedly having funds raised for them? Because that could be the big difference.
Michael Porter.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Like I said, Captain Lou Albano passed, and she promised the family. So, I mean, if you want to direct reparation through that, that's where it lies there, through the funeral expenses, because she promised the family the funeral expenses. With Dr. Def Steve Williams, obviously it was tragic that he passed before the charity was done. I mean, they were actually raising money for him at the point. I think they even had like some sort of a ball or a meet and greet or something like that. And he unfortunately passed. Joey at BTW Pro, Dawn Marie rented out tables to sign merchandise, you know, for quote unquote Wrestlers Rescue, but she took all that money in her pocket. You know, it's a fucking scam. It's just a straight up scam, and unfortunately, the big names don't want to do anything about it. I think they're literally terrified. Literally, Jay, terrified of her wrestling clout. I'm like, fuck, Dawn Marie.
Oh, really?
What else
wow.
could it be? Why would a Dave Meltzer or a Brian Alvarez or Wade Keller or Jason Powell? Why would these people even care about Dawn Marie? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't think of a reason, man.
Yeah, those people are very easily swayed, so there's really no telling about that type of thing, but yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I never had that much knowledge of Michael Porter. Eric had talked to Michael on a few times and stuff, and you know, he had a lot of respect for him, and when he passed, he asked me, he's like, dude, can I do a tribute show for him? I said, no, by all means. I'm not even going to be on it because I really don't know enough, and I feel it'd be disrespectful to even just hang around and be like, yeah, well. So I said, nah, man, have at it. And they had a bunch of his family and friends, and Sid Vicious went on there, and, you know, they did that. But, yeah, from what I heard, he was a great guy.
I mean, simply put, he was a ref. You know, I mean, he never had any real wrestling experience. He had a couple matches, he said, when he was younger and stuff like that. And I saw a few photographs from his early days. But mostly, every time I pulled up anything involving Michael Porter, it had to do with wrestling, like as a ref. And that's fine, too. He's part of the industry. I mean, it would be like telling Joey, oh, you don't count because you're only a ref. Do you realize that refs run fucking wrestling matches? Like, you can't even have a wrestling match most of the time unless you have, like, two real ring veterans without a referee. You know, that's just it was goofy of it to be implied. But, yeah, for Kamala, I feel fucking horrible. You know, and I don't. Rob Feinstein supposedly is taking it under his wing right now to raise money for Kamala in Kamala's name, and he's the only one with complete control over it. And I believe Rob Feinstein will do the right thing, and kudos to him. I mean, I bag on Rob all the time for that silly shit he got caught up with a few years back.
You know? Oh, that silly crime! that silly kid rapist. Come on. Oh, couple years too early before you got tackled on lawns. Jeez.
Right. But I mean, at the same time, he's always been pretty honest when it came to money. I've never really heard people complaining about Rob Feinstein screwing them out of a paycheck. But hey, fuck, I don't know.
I can't knock him for that.
You know?
Nah, definitely.
But pardon me, I'm late eating dinner, so I apologize if you
hear me chewing. Yeah.
But, no, for the most part, I really hope that Kamala gets either the money that was supposedly raised in his name, or I hope somebody investigates Don Marie and finally gets shut down.
It really should.
You know?
Yeah, she should be like anybody else. You want to sell 8x10s of your fucking, you know, your small career, and people want to pay for it, then have at it. But if you want to use someone else's name, then that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it should be. But
and here's the horrible thing is, when I did my research, there was not one person she had helped other than her sister. There was not one person that she had I'd proof for other than her sister.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty telling.
It's straight up depressing, though. It really is.
Yeah.
Just that kind of, you know, attitude. And it's just the fact that you would do that to another human being, especially somebody that's in the same industry that you supposedly love. You know what I mean? Just, I don't know. I'm going to have to pull out a bunch of stuff, too, so.
Yeah. I know. What's your thoughts on the Davey Richards thing that just happened? He had to, you know, go get wrist tape and more or less, you know, daddy went out for a pack of cigarettes and never came back.
Yeah. Now, I heard that he was also going on a rampage, shitting all over different companies and stuff like that.
Yeah, I had heard he shit pretty heavily on Kevin Steen and stuff, which honestly I can't say much bad about because I don't like Steen much, but, you know, I mean, it's Davey Richards as well, so.
It's kind of funny because I haven't even told Joey about this yet, but a little birdie slipped me his fucking home number and his cell number.
Oh, Davey?
So, Davey's, yeah.
Ah, boy.
So I'm kind of interested in seeing what we might do about this.
If he answers the phone on Thursday.
Well, because I know for a fact that Joey can easily get a hold of Kevin Steen's number. I was thinking, wouldn't it be awesome if we had a three-way live on Wrestling Server?
Oh, that'd be pretty fantastic.
That'd be pretty fucking funny.
Yeah.
But, No, I definitely got Davey Richards' number. Just need Kevin Steen's. Still don't know what we're going to do with it, but I think it's pretty fucking horrible. you know, the fact that you think you're that good, that he believes the smell of his own internet shit. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, I don't know. I look at it several ways too, because it's, you know, you see so many promoters that are beating wrestlers. To see a wrestler beat a promoter, I kind of laugh for a half a minute before I go, okay, well, that wasn't right. But wow. you know, the guy's like, all right, well, just, you know, hit me my money. Oh man, I'm all out of tape. Let's, everybody that came with me, let's go to the store. Jesus Christ. That's fucking something else. I've never heard anything like that.
Hmm? That's what I'm saying. He's a dumbass. Because now who the fuck is willing to want to hire him because of that shit?
Well, I mean, yeah. Davey has a lot of drawing. A lot of these other promoters are marks for themselves. So what's going to happen is they're still going to look at it as, well, he wouldn't do that shit to me. Like, that's how Teddy Hart has got every booking he ever had. Because he no-showed... you know, 85 bookings, but then the other five people were like, well, he's never no-showed me. I know that much. He'll be here on the 12th. And that's, whether he was or wasn't, that was their thoughts going in. And I think the same is going to happen with Davey.
Now, is he still lined up to work for Billy Corgan's Fed?
I don't really know that much about Billy's Fed. I've seen a few things here and there. I know it's out there, you know, the Chicago area, right?
Right.
Yeah, and, you know, I've seen that Robert Anthony's working over there and stuff, which is good because he was pretty much done as of, you know, CZW and just didn't have, you know, the funds and the time within his normal career to make it out east anymore. So he was pretty much going to hang it up, but... that was like his, well, man, I could do this, and they seem to be doing pretty big things. So I've seen a little bit through that, but other than that, I really don't know that much about what's going on in that Fed.
Hmm. It's funny, your chat room saying TNA. Ravy Ditchards and TNA?
Oh, man, I don't know about that.
I could see it, but it's like really, you know, it's just one more person you're picking up with a bad attitude. You know, and it's not the first time TNA has picked up somebody that was in the red. I mean, and as much as people love him, Kurt Angle was in the red when he went into TNA. I mean, the guy was
speaking of people with mouthpieces,
right? You know, he was horrible when he left WWE ECW and he went to TNA. He was in such bad shape. You know, you're in bad shape when the company that you helped build. I will give Kurt Angle all the credit in the world. When he was in WWE, he was great. I loved him. I thought he was fantastic. Yeah. And then you saw him drop off that side of the cliff. And he's not the only one. There's tons of guys that went to TNA like that. There was Crash Holly. End of his career, what does he do? He goes to TNA, ends up fucking, you know, ODing while drinking or something like that, and passes away. Test. There's another guy who totally his entire career in WWE, got so bad, WWE let him go, went to TNA, ended up dying a month later. It's fucking horrible, man.
Yeah. I'm actually pretty surprised. I guess Angle's one of those guys that just has tremendous, I don't know what you even call it, tolerance. Because, I mean, the amount of, like, weight he dropped and the amount of things he's done and arrests he's had and just, like, blowouts he had, that the fact that he wasn't a tragic story amazes me. It just... got to be one of the biggest falls from grace that's ever happened. He was definitely a main eventer without even remote question in the WWE, and that's not easy to do. Like a staple main eventer.
And, he wasn't even just a staple. He was a merchandise seller.
Oh, yeah.
More than being in the main event, more than just being a guy that they pushed up to the top, the guy sold merchandise. There were kids wearing It's True, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Videos, what else do you have? He had books. I mean, he did TV spots. I mean, he was up there. You know, feuds that he had with Triple H and Stephanie were fantastic. Feuds that he had with Undertaker and Chris Jericho, fantastic. I mean, you look to Kurt Angle in WWE and you saw a guy who was willing to give you a great match, and you knew to expect nothing less.
Right.
You know what I mean? Nobody went into Kurt Angle Thursa 2000 and said, you know, this guy... I'm not sure about this guy. Bullshit. You knew he was going to give you something good. You know?
Yeah, stuff with Stone Cold with the pouring milk all over the place. And
hilarious.
Yeah, hilarious. And then one of Brock Lesnar's best matches in the WWE was against Kurt Angle. I mean, it just, I don't know. I mean, he did a lot of things, and the fact that he turned into the, you know, with his Angle Foods that I think we both played on our shows, and him stammering through that Angle Foods. And
he's a real winner these days.
Oh,
you know?
It's brutal. But, I mean, what are you going to do? That's the main event at TNA.
Publicly putting your divorce on display. Publicly, what was it, his girlfriend beating up Rihanna or stalking Rihanna to the point where she actually got a legal order of protection against him. I mean, come on.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Isn't that what happened? Something like that, right? She got a legal order of protection against him because he wouldn't stop calling her night and day and stuff like that.
Oh, Raka Khan.
Raka Khan, thank you, not Rihanna.
You're saying Rihanna. I'm like, I never heard of that story. I heard of Rihanna getting beat up by the other guy, but okay. Wow.
Same thing.
Well, some would say. I don't know.
Sorry.
But, yeah, it's something else. And,
it's pretty bad when I reference Chris Brown and Rihanna to Kurt Angle and Raka Khan, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Well, I mentioned earlier because you guys were talking about it too on Monday, and I thought that was a pretty good topic, and you know, I brushed across it, but I do agree with Joey that if Johnny Ace is out of talent relations, that Tommy Dreamer's got to be the guy.
Really, Tommy? You like Tommy, huh?
And I tell you why is because he is a guy that every time he's been off of WWE television or backstage, he has been touring the indies. He's been putting over guys like Sami Callihan. He's been putting over different guys that he's worked with or seen firsthand. I don't know how much of that has happened through a backstage presence of WWE in the history of the company, or at least recent history.
Right.
This guy has been to the indie shows to see the talent that has to be offered around, and he could judge it on his own mind, but I mean, who else is going around the country like that and going, wow, man, nah, you're the future. You keep up what you're doing there. I think he could freshen the company as far as what's come in. I mean, a lot of the developmental guys that came up through WWE program, I'm an indie fan, and I've never heard of these fucking guys. And then they get all the shot in the world, and a lot of times they fail. Some make it, but never heard of these guys. They're just OVW Florida guys, and that's as far as their indie, you know, work has gone. So,
right.
You know, I think he could introduce a lot of other guys from a lot of different feds, a lot of different, you know, genres. He might be more in touch with, you know, the Japan talent or the Mexico talent to bring in someone that's not 5 years removed from being a star, you know,
right?
Like Triple H. Bring in 10 years ago's Mexican fucking all-star. All right.
You guys might be absolutely dead on with Tommy Dreamer as far as it goes for his ability. Like, I'm not exactly sure how he would be referenced as a booker. I don't know if he's a stunning example of someone that can recognize talent. Like, I don't know what his track record is about guys that he's brought in. But then I sit there and I look at other people like Paul Heyman. And I know
right.
It would never happen because Paul Heyman just rubs everybody the wrong way. But thinking about some of the people that Paul Heyman has built up and chosen to be stars, he's a perfect example of somebody that you want in talent relations. You want an older individual who's seen it all, done it all, can physically back it up and say, hey, I was part of some of the most extraordinary angles in wrestling history. I was a part of that, and I know exactly what people love. I mean, his last creation was Brock Lesnar. You know what I mean?
Right.
The last that he legitimately brought in was Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar took WWE by storm. If Brock Lesnar didn't leave, Jay, if he never left WWE, I guarantee you they wouldn't even know who the fuck John Cena was.
Well, that's wishful thinking.
I still think Brock Lesnar would have overshadowed completely John Cena. You know what I mean? Completely.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you're talking about athletic ability, Brock Lesnar has that. If you're talking about merchandise sales, Brock Lesnar had that. There wasn't a person in the crowd during the Kurt Angle Brock Lesnar WrestleMania that didn't have on a Brock Lesnar t-shirt. All you saw was the dick horns everywhere. It was awesome. You know, I mean, as far as the two go, intensity, you know, when it comes to the believability of a character, that was one of the things I said before, too. When I watched Brock Lesnar come out there and beat the living shit out of Cena, I said, that's what we're missing.
We're missing someone almost killing Cena. Exactly.
Right. But, I mean, my whole point was, my point on that was, and I was even joking with Joey, it's like, dude, it was the first time in a long time I watched a Raw and went, God damn, that looked like that hurt. You know,
yeah.
Most of the time.
Well, I think Brock lost his shit. I think that's half of it.
Well, I'd like to believe, sir.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
The thing with Brock too is like he's very, you know, he's very sporadic. He doesn't know where he wants to go with his life, and he jumps around a lot. So he's just such like a personal loose cannon. I don't know if he'll. If we'll ever be able to stay in one place long enough to be that star.
Right.
You know, he was able to get enough wins in the UFC to be on top until his intestines gave out from whatever the fuck he's ingesting.
Yeah,
but,
staph infection, wasn't it? Wasn't that what really caused the downfall of his career? Was that horrible staph infection when he was supposed to face Shel Sonnen that first time or the second time they were supposed to face up, and he was out for almost a year with that fucking staph infection, right?
Yeah, but there was a point he was definitely in the hospital and had to have, like, a foot of his intestines removed. That's I kind of look at that as a bad thing. I don't know.
No, that's definitely true. You know, I just he obviously went through some sort of, you know, serious physical changes, which is all the more reason it's like, that's kind of why he's not champion in UFC, I think. You know? Just
yeah.
saying, if you go through surgery like that, that's gotta just curb your fight career.
Yeah, they say that the training alone will kill you far before the fights do, and that's why he wasn't able to do that anymore. The training would have killed him.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, which is why he once again belongs in WWE. Doesn't belong in the Minnesota Vikings. Doesn't belong in Japan. He belongs right in WWE. He really does. He was the fucking man. And kudos to the guy for being young enough to say, you know what, I'm not sure if this is what I want to do. I want to go out there and do other things. I remember when Brock Lesnar left after that Goldberg match at WrestleMania, which was a travesty, and the audience turned shit on both of those guys because the audience knew, we all knew they were both out of here after this match, you know? And it was hilarious to me because they're actually mad that this guy is leaving to do something for himself. He just had a brand new girlfriend that later on to become his wife, Sable, who is also a wrestling legend in her own right, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it's like, now he's a family man, now he's got a kiddo, you know? I mean, he's been married for now, what, 6 years? I mean, it's not exactly like he's a spring chicken anymore. You know, yeah, fine, he came back. You know, why are people still shitting on him? I don't get
but
it.
But those,
you know?
Those fans gave it to those guys, and they trolled the shit out of those fans with that match. You can see Austin looking back and forth like, oh, you guys are just going to, no, nothing? All right. Damn it.
Austin literally saved that match from being absolute shit. He literally did. When he went in there and stunned everybody, it was kind of like, yeah, that's the way it should have been done.
Yeah, I guess so. And the only thing I could give Cena above Brock is Brock needed Heyman to talk. Cena could talk. Of course, I don't like a lot of stuff he's saying, but he can talk.
Yeah.
And they needed that flagship guy that they can, you know, sell shirts through and just push their company through the, you know, baby face that makes you want to vomit. But through the kids and the, you know, a lot of the crowd, it works. It's like they're, you know, the spokesman guy that comes out there and gives you the stick, you know?
Exactly. But, I mean, that's just the thing, too, is that Brock Lesnar, he wasn't a horrible talker. I mean, I remember a lot of his promos with Eddie and Chris, you know, and the feud that they had, the back and forth with Kurt Angle, which was priceless, too, you know? Brock was never a strong, solid speaker, but nobody needed him to be. Brock Lesnar was the most captivating to me when he was out there for the first 3 months and he didn't say a fucking word. Paul Heyman came out there, started screaming, kill Jeff Hardy. Brock Lesnar went out there, started chewing on his kneecap, and was done with it. And that was
right.
And it was awesome. And Brock Lesnar got up and walked away. He was just a human Terminator. And that was the best way that they sold Brock Lesnar. Kind of like what they're doing now. Brock Lesnar, they had him cut that promo when he was going up talking with Triple H and stuff like that. And I'm like, ugh, don't do that. Don't have Brock talk. Let Paul Heyman talk. That is
right.
Paul Heyman's. Paul Heyman is a genius when it comes to talking shit. Still to this day, he gives me goose chills when he comes out and he just starts talking shit. That whole fucking promo with Triple H and Stephanie in the ring, it was odd, only for the sake is that Triple H and Stephanie are supposed to be the good guys, but they're acting like heels almost by the way Daddy Girl gets everything that she wants. And you almost felt bad for Paul Heyman. You felt bad for the heel. And I'm like, that's fucking brilliant. Like, I don't know if that was the plan all along or whatever, but the fact that you felt bad for the heel was amazing to me. It's like, here's this guy that's been doing nothing but talking shit, and now at the end he gets slapped by a girl, and you feel bad for him. I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Oh, there's so much I just don't understand about their heel face thing, and I want to definitely go over Raw in a minute. I think I'm probably going to take, like, a quick break, you know, play a song real quick, and then, you know, come back, and we'll get into Raw, and I got a few other topics, too, we could chop up.
For sure, for sure. I'll be here.
Cool. All right.
All right, bud.
Play this track, and there we go. Ah, yeah. Wrong one. Jesus, looks so good.
The reality of our time, the fact that bombs may someday be dropped on our city. And let us prepare for survival, understanding the weapon that threatens us. The blast is its most important destruction.
What you call me in a car? Hey, yo, TP, demigod, all day. Get your motherfucking weight up.
Effect, imagine it's sex. I came out the bathroom and blasted a deck. Look out the window, see that passenger jet. Superman in a headlock and a gat to his neck. Fuck kryptonite, kicks the blood to grips on Krypton. Superhuman powers, a capered house slippers on. I kept the real money, never my Philly deal. I'm like Cliff Lee going for the Philly deal. I'm a rebel with Mike, I'm daredevil with sight. I can be the peacemaker, I can set up the fight. Don't provoke a fuck around and get your death notice. I'm just trying to raise awareness, I ain't talking about chef's focus. I'm like a combination of George and Frank Lucas. You Lucas, you catch Lucas, eat mucus. So don't you ever step, never rep, you will never get better. So get clever and drop the motherfucking mic forever.
Stepping out of dimes with a spliff of Sin C. Running with them boys, full DGC. AOTP performing and they ain't no joke. Fuck around and get your 20 cents in that broke. I'm a criminal, rain dance on you like a criminal. Shit's on your label, flipping over tables. Professor X out of the chair, fully able. Wolverine up in the bull, slicing your cables.
This my kind of beat. The body will feel if the mind is weak. So I slam bodies like Iron Sheik. This is hustle music, nigga. We grind to eat. Fuck a hater, feel the razor that's inside my sneaks. My brother at Black. This is Honky Talk. The flow is tighter than how a fucking honky walk. This junkyard calls, call a coroner. Undertaker, break it, the ultimate warrior.
I'm in Portland to New Year officially, but it is safe outside.
Study.
If you have been exposed to radioactive dust, wash the exposed area.
$1 million man, Ted DiBiase shit, Ralph Macchio flow, running like Karate Kid, Miyagi when I politic, Obama with the poly grip, mad at the world, every verse I got a body shit, Ric Flair, silverhead, nigga getting old, yo, army of the Pharaoh, click the rest of y'all, so, yeah, gripping like the Legion of Doom, you can't defeat us, then we putting non-believers in tombs,
murderous arrangement, using words that just play with, guilty by association, am I arraignment, night crawler, fight harder, pipe brawler, if I'm dead, I'm a Mike Martyr. Puerto Rock know how to spit, that's undisputed. AOTP, we dirty, we ghetto, we zooted. We get gunny, grind crazy, I'll pedal your music. You got a new album, nobody listening to it.
My appetite is galactic, like eating satellite. A ice cream spy clock to freeze the glass of light. When the jazz the right, then Mike the afterlife. F with us, I check niggas like the answer's right. I ain't the type to walk around with my pants all tight. I love white women, but live for Black Panther's right. Demigod, you can try to unestimate. Got him waiting on the kid to drop like a pregnant bitch.
If this evil force can be stopped and destroyed before actual nuclear war begins, then the universe will be safe.
So, motherfucker, I ain't from this planet. Your human rap skills are just lukewarm.
form. I got alien intestines like the ones that kept lukewarm. Anchoring actions, action-packed factor in factions in Anchorage, Alaska, waving an accent. My unfortunate orphan done is astonished that I had COVID teeth. I bit him in the shoulder meat. All spare, I floss, yeah, the boss here won't keep you in my prayers, but I'll keep you in my crossfade. Yeah. Van Hammer, pass hit you with the blam blammer. Get my money on the street like a panhandler. American me, motherfucking Santana. Rock more polo shit than a Cam Sansa. Y'all are Kanye, sweeter than a canned Fanta. Allahu Akbar, Lord, I'm a ranch chancellor. With blood dripping from my mouth like a tan panther. I'm the motherfucking boss like the Mandanza.
The
knowledge
is
lower. Yeah. Yeah. Self-titled. Yeah. Out of space. Moly, what up?
T-O-P-L-E-S-S.
Do you take loads to the face and everywhere else?
Oh, Robin, that's inappropriate. Mustulate you.
Baba Booey.
I'm 19.
Benji is cockstrong.
I want it right now.
I ate my brother.
Yeah! Stern Nation.
Stern Nation. Check them out on Podomatic, iTunes, or Stitcher.
Any girls ever had two penises in their ass?
I have, twice.
You should have mentioned that. I mean, that might have put you over the top.
Yeah, so yeah, we're back. There's some Vinny Paz and a little Stern Nation on the end.
A little two cocks in the ass.
Yeah. Good family entertainment.
I love Carla. That dude's fucking hilarious. That was him going, yeah.
I know. I actually heard the episode where he started it with that, and the girls just laughed.
Oh,
it's his Ronnie impersonation.
And then he goes, Stern Nation, because he was drunk already.
Yeah,
saying
awesome.
That Rock came a little early, you know?
Yeah, it sure was. Maybe the Ellen DeGeneres game, who knows?
Oof.
But,
a lot of drinking there.
Yeah, it sure is, but... Yeah, I've been dying to call into the show, but it just hasn't lined up with my schedule yet. But eventually I'll call in because I'm a huge Stern mark myself.
Oh, but, really? I didn't know.
Oh, yeah, man. I listen to every fucking episode.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, I actually just gave him I had about a half a gig of nothing but Howard Stern's best bits over, like, the last 10 years.
Sweet.
And so it's but audio clips of some of the funniest shit, and it's classic. It really is. I think yeah, he's going to start using some of that. I hope he does because it's people. It would be fun to listen to some of the old school stuff, you know. Because that's when I liked Stern was back in the day. Like I haven't. I'll be honest. I haven't listened to him in probably about 5-6 years.
Oh wow!
Pretty much back when he was still on terrestrial radio is when I was catching him because here in Chicago, I mean, obviously that's New York radio, you know. But here in Chicago, we got him on. We had a station called WCKG 105.9 here in the city. And in the late 90s, early to mid-2000s, they'd play Howard Stern late at night. And I was like, that was when I first caught him. And some of his stuff is hilarious. But, yeah.
Yeah, well, I listen to Stern like Joey watches the Indies, you know? Just put it that way. I don't have serious. you know? But, I mean, now when going back from, you know, early Sirius when they had Artie Lang on, and doing that, I mean, it was just unbelievably classic. You know, Artie Lang against the Iron Sheik, unbelievable stuff. But, yeah, I mean, they're still doing great, great radio and, you know, pod or whatever you want to call it. But just good stuff. And the reason I like Andrew's show is because they do, like, a wrap-up show on the Stern thing. And I don't like it because it's generally – the people who are the extras on the show getting their own show. So they generally recap everything that you've already heard.
Yeah.
And then if anything good actually happens, Stern will talk about it on the next show. So there's really nothing you're going to miss listening to them wrap it up. But to hear actual fans wrapping it up and give their opinion, I like that. And that's why I think these guys do a great show.
It's kind of funny because Howard Stern used to have an internet network where he allowed fans and up-and-coming broadcasters and stuff to advertise underneath the Howard Stern banner. And I don't exactly know whatever happened to that. I think they kind of, like, X-nayed on it. But it was a really good idea. I had a couple of friends. Ford Denny was a good guy that I used to know back in the day, coming back up from the Revolution Radio days, which is a while back. And he was running his own show underneath the Howard Stern logo. And it was fantastic stuff. I mean, he was legitimately a young Howard Stern. Like, I mean, people make jokes about our show and about other shows and stuff like that. Ford Denny literally sounded like Howard, like had the voice down. You know what I mean? It was like you were listening to Howard Stern Circe of 1996, you know? So it was funny stuff, but anyways.
Yeah.
So what's going on with that Raw?
Raw? What is that? The show started out with a recap of the set being on fire, and they should have let the motherfucker burn, as far as I'm concerned, for that show.
They had to show the replay, what was it, four times in a 3-hour, and they showed it four times. Like, look, I actually gave WWE props for it, because that was one of the first things I told Tink. I'm like, you normally, WWE hides shit like that. Mistakes?
Yeah.
Oh, WWE doesn't have them. But for whatever reason, on Raw, they're like, hell, not only did we have a mistake, it was a spectacular mistake. Everything almost went up in flames. I'm like, what are you doing? Stop that. It's one thing to show it at the beginning of the show once, and that's it. And that would have been like, okay, that explains why we're not seeing pyros tonight. I understand. That was cool of you. But to show it four times over the night, like they were proud of it, like, hey, we almost lit our shit up.
And Jericho's like tweeting it out to people like, hey, this set's on fire. Like, oh, man.
Heath Slater has said, come on, Pookie, let's burn this motherfucker down.
Oh, that's great.
I died laughing, dude. I died laughing to that. That was hilarious. But yeah,
after the show, I definitely reflected and said, why didn't they just let it go? Evacuate the building and be like, we got to scrap this one, guys. Here's your, here's that cash. I don't know. I don't know nothing. We had a sketchy script anyway. Just thank you and go home.
Isn't that horrible?
Make a night out of this.
The thousandth and one show gets canceled.
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
You know what I mean? It's going to be forward to the next 2000. Oof. So
if they could have pre-recorded Monday's show, started the building on fire, and sent everybody home with a DVD of that, they would snap the DVD. Thank the people for giving them a night off. And I think that would have been it. They would have been like, oh, thank God I didn't watch that shit.
All right.
Oh, okay. Well, so anyway, they started out with the...
Man,
go ahead.
Not a big fan of the AJGM storyline, huh?
Oh, no, fuck that. They started out with the Punk promo. And I thought this was great. And I got to agree with you that him not being... And maybe it doesn't take him losing the title, but losing his face push and stuff like that, complete super face push, you know, ear-to-ear smile face push,
right.
Maybe that's too much. And now he gets to be a little more, you know, I think the biggest flaw about Punk through time, and you'll probably agree because it's kind of the stuff that you were saying, is when he paid not as much attention to the crowd and he just ran program.
Right.
And he put out what he put out, and the fans ate it up, but it wasn't because he pandered to the fans. It was because he did good shit, and they just liked it.
Right. He relied on his own abilities. You know, that was the biggest thing. With CM Punk coming up with the SCS, CM Punk coming up with the John Cena wars for SummerSlam and stuff like that last year, that was some great shit because – he didn't care what the fans thought. He wasn't appeasing to the fans. I mean, other than his silly ice cream bar bit, he really didn't get the fans. And even the ice cream bar bit was just that. Like, everybody was in on the joke. It was a bit, you know? Mm-hmm. And here was this guy who was on the borderline of getting fired. If he won the title, he would take the title with him. People were like, oh, he's not going to win it. And then all of a sudden, WWE does the major swerve, and everybody was like, holy shit, Punk won. He took the title with him. What are we going to do? You're here on the hottest football, and what do? You turn him into John Cena Light. Ooh.
Yeah, sure did. And the thing is even back when he was doing, you know, the Straight Edge Society thing, and he was standing on top of the Titantron, and he had the, you know, the harness that you didn't see on, and he threatened to jump off the thing and then told everybody, I wouldn't please you for doing some big stupid, you know, cutting on Jeff Hardy, like, yeah, he just jumps off the highest shit in the world. Do you think I'm one of those guys? I mean, he couldn't have been more over with me at that point.
Right.
I mean, that was gold. A full heel, but still.
That was it, Jay. He was being honest, and the fans knew that. Like, you could not distinguish the difference at that time between CM Punk and the guy Phillip Brooks. And I'm not sitting there trying to say his name in order to, like, you know, oh, I'm an insider because I know his name. No, I'm trying to sit there and say
everybody should pretty much know.
Well, it didn't seem like a scripted storyline. It wasn't like he was plugging the next pay-per-view every 20 seconds. Here
right.
was a guy who would sit down, calmly talk into the microphone, which is fucking creepy enough. I mean, consider
how many
guys...
sit down.
right. And consider how many guys are screaming into the microphone, you know, Jericho, I'm going to find you, and I'm going to rape your kitten, and I'm going to eat it afterwards after I'm done defecating. Yeah, we've heard you people scream to the mic for the last 10 fucking years. Now you have somebody coming in there, commanding your attention with the softest of speech. An intellectual fucking speech at that. The guy is a genius when it comes to cutting promos. However, when they changed him, when they gave him the belt and he became the foremost face because everybody loved him, he started acting like one. And that's the problem. If anybody's followed CM Punk's career over the years, you know the guy has his best moments when he's being a complete and utter douchebag.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, I think when he started to catch on long enough, because I honestly don't think throughout the whole stretch of him that they were, like, I don't think Triple H fully liked him. I don't think they wanted him to be that guy, but when he became that guy, I think they probably sat him down and said, listen, all right, we're going to re-sign you. You need to become a little more of our guy and stop fucking cutting us up on what actually happens behind the scenes because, like, we're kind of looking like assholes except for you. So let's...
I mean, if you're fair, John Cena did the same thing. I mean, if you go back into early of John Cena's career... He was pretty fucking controversial, too, with some of the stuff that he was saying. You know what I mean?
Look what happened to him.
I mean, for the rapping and stuff like that. But, I mean, for the most part, when he spoke his mind, John Cena was an honest individual, and people fell in love with that. They fell in love with John Cena because he was a guy, and he came out as just any ordinary guy, and he didn't give a fuck what you thought. And that's why people liked John Cena. And then all of a sudden he became the Marine. And then all of a sudden he became, you know, C Nation, bro. And it was like, ugh, I'm done with
man.
This. You know?
Start waving his hand.
Right. When he gave up the master lock, when he gave up the the lock around his neck, that's kind of when John Cena died. Now, like I said, it wasn't because of his silly raps. It was because he was a completely different person back then. And I mean person. From the way he carried himself, from the way he talked in the ring, the way he talked to the fans. Completely different. And I know that I'll get ostracized a little bit. Well, that's the difference, Anthony, between working as a babyface and working as a heel. Yes, to a point. I mean, you still got to keep some of your character. You know, I think it becomes phony to the fans. It becomes phony to me, Jay. When you can tell that everything that they say and do in the ring is to push the company's pay-per-view, is to push merchandise. Is to push the bottom dollar as opposed to pushing the feud properly. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, they often force the merchandise, which is ridiculous. The merchandise should be bought from the people who are over, who the fans like, and be like, man, I like that guy. I want to wear his fucking shirt. Well, that's more of a realistic way of selling things. But when you're like, I could get 10 more sales if I completely ruin this promo and make him just a fucking Fruit Loop. Well, okay, I guess then we'll do that because it doesn't mean anything to me and I don't care about, you know, we're going to have our huge pop, we're going to have our huge ratings, no one's touching us in the wrestling business, and whatever, let's ruin 3 promos and sell like 5 more shirts.
Right.
You know? Yeah, I guess it's just part of what happens, but, you know, amongst CM Punk, now, he did the thing, he came out, you know, sat I thought that was fucking awesome. When he sat on the fucking announce table to talk to, you know, Jerry Lawler about, hey, man, You said I turned on the whole audience. Well, since when is The Rock the whole audience? You know, and really, like, got in his face to have, like, a one-on-one with them in front of a crowd, which is pretty fucking cool.
That was. It was pretty fucking ingenious because it's like he was calling out his beef right there. The crowd didn't matter. Who was coming down to the ring didn't matter. This was between me and Jerry Lawler, and I was like, damn, that's pretty fucking funny. Because, you know,
yeah.
It was funny. The first thing that Don Tony and Kevin Castle brought up against Joey when Joey's like, well, I'm not sure if he's going to be a tweener or not. And Kevin, the first thing he brought up, he's like, yeah, but Jerry Lawler at the end said he just turned on the entire WWE universe. That's kind of their way of saying he's become a bad guy. And normally,
yeah.
That's the way WWE does it.
Of
and
course.
It was hilarious to see CM Punk come out there and go, let me address something. You know that last thing that you said? You're an asshole. It was like, that's awesome,
right.
Dude. So, you know,
I don't think we've seen much of that in the past, where a wrestler called an announcer out on what they were calling during a match that they were in, and then, you know, I also watched the match that I had, and I didn't just do it, I also watched it, and I heard what you said. Like, I think that's going a little deeper than they've gone in the past.
Right. Oh, it is. It absolutely is. I mean, they've done it before where they've called out commentators. Jim Ross got his ass beat God knows how many times. I remember it was, who was it? Was it Taz? That beat the hell out of Jim Ross back in the day for the comments that he said about him and stuff like that. And Jerry Lawler, you know, but it's like they've done it over the years. And for the most part, it really doesn't work, but maybe it depends on who says it and how they say it. Like now I don't want, and please, I'm crossing my fingers on this one. What I really don't want, Jay, I don't want to see a CM Punk versus Jerry Lawler match. You know what I mean? I don't want to see that.
No way.
Right.
No way.
That's my fear of where they might take a turn on this, but
I hope not. I can't imagine. But, well, I can't imagine. I would just hate it. Nightmares happen to everybody. Now, him being a tweener, do you think that this is going to, well, you know, and it obviously pushes him a little more to the heel side than he already was, which is going to make him better, but do you think, as a result of that, anybody else is going to turn more to the face side?
You know, I keep looking at Dolph Ziggler, and the crowd wants him to be a face, but instead of giving Dolph Ziggler the push his face, what do, Jay? They immediately change Chris Jericho into a face.
But it's not going to work.
I mean, obviously, I don't think Chris Jericho's going to win. I have no doubt in my mind that Chris Jericho is going to lose his match against Dolph. Like, no doubt in my mind. Why they did that, I don't know. Maybe it's to give us... The only thing I can think of positive coming out of this is we get to see Chris Jericho versus Dolph Ziggler in a big-time event in at SummerSlam. You know,
this shouldn't be bad.
No, it'll be a fucking tremendous match.
Sure.
But as far as storyline-wise, take it or leave it. You know what I mean? I mean, I understand what Dolph Ziggler said, saying, when was the last time you won a match? That was pretty fucking funny. I laughed.
Yeah.
I literally laughed.
Sure.
I'm like, wow, he just called Chris Jericho his bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Jericho reciprocated. But it was like that was what it took in order to turn Chris Jericho from this guy who hates Punk and he's the best in the world and blah, 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 and he's doing all these heel-like things, fucking hitting Punk with a bottle of whiskey only a month before that. It's like now all of a sudden
they put way too much. I mean, look at them doing, you know, at least three shows without Jericho basically saying anything just to make him that much of a heel. And I know, I mean, you know, a little bit of time has passed, but he's also taken time off. Oh, and why did he also took time off partially with the, he was kicking a flag, and then they took severe offense to that, and now he's a face.
Right.
Joey exactly. Numbers, continuity, you know?
Continuity manager. Yeah.
Absolutely. Where is he at? But that's, you know, some of the things that exactly what you guys are talking about, it's wrong. You're not even paying attention to what's happened in the past 6 months.
Isn't it horrible? Isn't it horrible that they have so much that they can do with a guy and they just completely flub it up. And I don't know what happened with the Chris Jericho CM Punk feud. It only started getting good at the last minute, which was sad, because here they were working this program for over a month, you know, and it just really threw me off that program, because it's like it should have been so much more than it actually was. And now here's Chris Jericho floating around in limbo, working on his new Fozzy album. I mean, it's no secret. Every time he comes out to the ring, at the bottom right-hand corner, you see a buy the new Fozzy CD in stores. It's like, all right, we get it. We know Chris Jericho has a life outside of wrestling. Kudos to him. But, you know, it's come to the point where it's like, I don't watch Chris Jericho anymore because of his great promos. I don't watch Chris Jericho to be entertained by what he says. I watch Chris Jericho now for the matches. Simple as that. You know?
All right.
So then pushing him as a face is wrong. Dolph Ziggler should definitely be more of a face in the company, especially now that he's on fire. Is there anybody in WWE right now that isn't on more fire than Dolph Ziggler?
Nice. And he doesn't stop taking the bumps to make the crowd go, wow, this fucking guy is serious.
Thanks. Right, every time he goes out there, he almost dies. Dolph Ziggler, he's a great talent. I really hope this Money in the Bank gets used properly. You know, obviously the big thing is that Cena lost his Money in the Bank from the week before that. You know, that carried over to this Raw, even though it was a DQ, they still said, you lost your shot, DQ or not. I'm like,
fantastic.
Right.
Whatever.
I still thought it was kind of bogus the way that they did it. It's kind of like, well, you know, what's the point of, I guess, the point of winning Money in the Bank now? By Cena losing that match, and this is just going on continuity storyline, by Cena losing that match via DQ, that has really diminished the point of having Money in the Bank. Because now it literally says that the only reason they have Money in the Bank is to catch somebody while they're taking a dump, drag a ref into the bathroom, kick him in the skull, cash in the contract, and pin him for the three. Because that's the only reason to have Money in the Bank. It's not to have a legitimate match in the middle of the ring. WWE poo-pooed all over that. Because here was Right. Sorry.
I get that part. But the thing that I don't get is where you're like, all right, I'm cashing in my Money in the Bank. And they're like, well, guess what? DQ, you lose. Okay, next month you got another title shot. So,
right.
You know, it kind of confuses everything. It's like, well, you didn't really get too screwed, did he?
Yeah. No, you're right. was that because of the new AJ Lee, general manager, a.k.a. Stephanie McMahon version 2?
So, here's the thing. When she comes out and that started up thing happens and I'm just annoyed, and there's no way in hell, and I said it like just in joking, and then as soon as I said it jokingly, I don't even hear it any other way anymore. It sounds like slutted up to me. And if you listen to the song now, you will hear slutted up every fucking time. Every time.
Slutted up.
It works. It just fucking works, man. And I'm telling you, it comes out and she's like, yeah, I fucking used to be in love with like three people. Now I run the show. Slut it up.
Man.
It'll win.
As it's been said before, WWE is the masters of coming in their own mouths. How do you take AJ and turn her from psychotic, skipping, confused girl that looks like a 12-year-old into businesswoman, pantsuit-wearing, non-skipping authority figure? What?
Yeah, I mean, when she was doing the psycho thing and she would do her shit and then she would like kind of like tilt her head like if you whistle at a dog, and then she would just make some kind of move that you didn't see coming, you'd be like, oh wow, this bitch is crazy, this works.
Right.
And it's like, oh, now she makes all the business decisions. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know how to make that work in my brain.
The fans are going to turn on this so fast.
They
did a little bit on Monday, but I guarantee you within a month they're going to try and switch AJ back, because this is not going to work. They're going to have to do something with her, because clearly she is not an authority figure. She doesn't have the voice of authority figure. You know, even Stephanie McMahon, when she came out there, yeah, she's daddy's little girl, But she would fucking scream at the top of her lungs, and she demanded authority. She sounded like a bitchy woman. You could believe Stephanie McMahon was a bitchy authoritative figure. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Obviously, in real life, she's probably not. She's probably pretty mellow, especially now that she has kids and stuff like that. But as
no,
far
she,
as
she handles goes, Triple H's ego with no authority, really.
She's probably the only one, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as that, another good female that I think would make a great authority figure, especially going to SmackDown, Vicky. I think Vicky would be a great authority. And I know she had it once upon a time, back when she was in the wheelchair, when she was injured.
Right.
You know, she was still running the shows and stuff. I had no problem with Vicky running things. Vicky is
now,
a good.
Me neither. She makes people mad. She, you know, just her voice alone makes people fucking really angry, which, I mean, Johnny Ace was doing the same type of shit, and it was actually working, you know.
Right.
People would want him off, but it was because they disliked him. But, you know, the product was going to be what it was going to be anyway, and you had, like, a guy that was just like, I don't care what you guys are saying. Business is business, and this is what goes on. And that makes sense. But if the, you know, the chick was a little skipping psycho fucking 1 month ago, and now she's, well, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and now
right.
she's like, yeah, I'm in love with everybody. And now it's like, oh, you know what? Okay, here's how the matches are going to go. I'm like, what?
And what are they doing with poor Daniel Bryan? I feel bad for the guy. Could he not get his ass kicked more in one night? Seriously. Let's
well,
see what happened.
He had a medical evaluation.
Right. Well, no, it starts off with he got rejected last week. And she took the job. And he finally goes to meet her, and she says, pretty much, screw you. I knew about your mental handicap people or your ward people coming after me. You know, fuck you. You got a match tonight, blah, blah, blah. And it's not for the title. So she screws him like that, too. So that's two screws right there. Pretty much saying that she used him in order to get, you know, married, and then she left him at the altar to fuck with his head. Which, to be fair, Daniel Bryan is still a heel, so it's kind of like, okay, good, fuck you. So what happens? That isn't enough. She has to come down to the ring after Daniel Bryan flips out and kicks the shit out of poor little Jimmy.
Little Jimmy. Oh, little Jimmy.
Jimmy. and she calls out the White Knights to come grab his ass. And so he gets taken in the back, which is even more embarrassing. And then he gets given this psych eval, which is hilarious because it's just him flipping out, going, yes, 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 actually straining. Like, there was that one scene where you saw his veins in his head, Jake, literally looked like he wanted to bust out. It was insane.
Yeah.
He worked from that angle. And then they made the ghost face joke and everything else like that. And he was still taken away. And it's kind of like, man, did this beat the hell out of Daniel Bryan as a person or what? I'm like, he could still be a heel. But now it was almost like, once again, I'm feeling bad for the heels. It's like, when is enough enough? You know,
exactly.
Becoming the bad guy by doing this, you know?
Yeah, because that wasn't the end. And before you go any further, I do want to comment on R-Truth. Did he not look like a fucking retard? He didn't look like a standing retard when Daniel Bryan did what he did. And it's like, now he's going to get bitched just after you get bitched. We're just going to bitch you and then... Then we're going to go a little deeper on this guy in a minute. But, wow. Literally screaming, what's wrong with you? You're talking into an imaginary child.
Right,
there's
right.
something wrong with you. It's like, all right, he'll be back next week looking normal.
It was hilarious because Kofi is standing there just going, R-Truth, can we get up, man? Come on, man. You're embarrassing me.
Can we get out of here? He seems to be getting into truth. You know your name is? You know, you ever going to? That's shit. He's telling the truth and you're being retarded. Oh, that's awesome. That's all right. Next week, all that would be great.
Right, right.
And then they went into the mental evaluation thing. You know, that was the next thing. And as far as that storyline goes. You know, they pulled the goat face thing out, this and that. The huge flaw here was, I think, where they ended it. And they're like, well, hey, you know what? I looked at everything, and I think you're a little mad. And he didn't say, hey, I think you need some anger management counseling. But other than that, you're completely sane. He was just like, you know, you seem angry and stuff. But nah, I mean, by my diagnosis, you're completely fine. And then fucking Kane runs in the fucking room. They obviously have red lights installed in the building as well. And, you know, he fucking runs in the room. I'm your anger management counselor. Like, the dude never even appointed that. He didn't sign a paper before he left the fucking room. And you come flying in? All right, then. I guess that's what we're doing.
I wouldn't be surprised if AJ and Kane spark something back up, which is horrible, which is a horrible thought. It really is, because... Do I really want to see Kane with anybody else again? I mean, isn't it bad how many women he's been with? Let's see. He was with Tori from DX. He was with Lita. He was with, was it Luna Vachon? He was with, fuck, who else? There's somebody else that he was banging on too. Fuck, was it with the Dudleys? No, that was Stacey Keibler. Anyways, Kane's got a track record of girls. That
sure does.
Oh, he does. He's just as bad as Matt Hardy and Edge and all those guys. And I think it's hilarious. But, you know. And what about the thoughts that Daniel Bryan believed that it was going to be Charlie Sheen? Or actually AJ and Charlie Sheen. There you go.
Yeah, and saying that in the chat. And that's pretty hilarious because, I mean, Charlie Sheen would turn it into a real thing pretty quick, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, dude, I can't wait to see Charlie Sheen and Daniel Bryan in the ring.
Oh, shit, man.
Fucking shoot my
brain.
He's
going to cut him with a Coke razor.
He's going to hide him in the closet and burn him alive.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Just don't give Charlie a blowtorch, man. He'll light your shit up. Fuck.
Yeah.
Is that what he did? Isn't that how he got busted? Was it Charlie Sheen? Like a few years back when he was doing the whole winning thing. He had like 6 hookers in the room. And he trapped one in the closet and he lit the closet on fire or something like that?
Oh, I don't know. One of the outbursts was, and that could have been one of them, but he thought she stole his watch. And so she, like, locked herself in the bathroom while he, like, fucking trashed the room. And she called the cops, like, dude, this guy's going to fucking kill me and I don't have his watch.
I think he lit the bathroom door on fire. I thought
he
it was a closet.
He might have.
He lit the door on fire. It's like, God damn, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Do you realize, Charlie, that if you light the bathroom on fire, your wallet's probably going up, too?
Yeah, there goes your watch that you were so into.
Yeah, but wasn't wife and kids were, like, right next door, too?
I'm sure. It's
same hotel.
Something else.
Yeah.
Okay. The fact that someone, you know, a PG company would use him as an ambassador for any fucking thing makes me laugh at the whole PG statement.
Well, Charlie Sheen's a hot new thing now. He's got his new anger management show.
Right. All right. That makes him okay. You know,
yeah.
I mean, there's people on that celebrity rehab show that they didn't let back for the DX reunion.
With Scott Hall. I heard he did really good on the 90s.
Oof. Yeah. Couldn't bring back the Wolfpack, could you?
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I thought the Sheamus Daniel Bryan match was pretty good. You know, it was another one to keep rehashing things, but I thought it was pretty good.
Once again, Daniel Bryan has a talent. Sheamus, I don't know, man. You know, Sheamus has these shades of gray that he falls into where it seems like he's just...
How many?
Right. He's just being boring. His matches with Del Rio are very non-climactic. It's just something about who he's working with. Obviously, when he's working with a guy who knows how to wrestle, Dolph Ziggler, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, you know, it's just really good matches. But at the same time, of course it is. Look who he's working against.
Right.
You know what I mean? Sheamus is a big guy, and sadly, you know, he seems limited when he's in the ring with certain people. So, I don't know. And yeah, Dorito needs to go. Dorito's had his time.
He needs to go the way of candy.
Yeah, really does. Have you seen Wade Barrett? Wade Barrett's due around the corner any day soon now.
How is he?
Yeah, well, he's getting huge, man. He cut his hair. So now he looks like a human being. He doesn't have that greaseball look anymore. You know,
right.
He's still got the goofy face, but I think he's kind of growing in like a chin strap, which is kind of interesting. And he's got like abs now all of a sudden. He's got an actual cut pack. He's got a six pack now. Oh yeah, now he's looking solid, you know. So let's hope that you know, with that new improved kind of character, he can come out and bring some fire. But I kind of miss him. I kind of miss Mark Henry. And I still don't even know if Mark Henry's coming back because he's still up in the air saying, well, I might retire. And, you know, I could see him retiring. I mean, nobody's going to blame him. He's been in the business for how long? So.
Yeah, I don't know. They need to lead these things better. And obviously, there's a handful of guys there at the end of their run. But if you give them that big send-off like they gave Mark Henry with his world title thing and he was a crusher for a while, can you send them off on that note? Or do you want to have them fucking stagger around for a while and actually, you know, just look like shit for, I don't know, 6 months to a year and then go, all right, he's done.
I'd rather watch him than Big Show, man. I'll be honest.
Oh, all day, man. I hate Big Show. It's ridiculous. But next big thing that came up that was actually big story is guy just comes out there. What was his name? AW. Comes out there and says, Titus.
Making the Kobe Bryant rape.
Looks like Kobe Bryant at a hotel in Colorado. Unstoppable. That's PG for you guys. You want to look that up? See what he's talking about? Wow.
Hey, Mom, what is he?
Well, sometimes if you're with a famous basketball player and you consent to sex and then he decides all holes are a green light, that's when this charge comes about. And then other people, you know, reference it as a storyline.
The boys on Monday shit on that. I didn't say a fucking word because I was happy that he made that joke. I'm happy whenever something that's an intelligent joke, an inside joke, can come out and it's dirty and it's funny at the same time. Because it took balls. It literally must have taken giant balls to say that in front of, 4 million people? You know?
Yeah.
So I'm not exactly against it. I'm not one of those proprietors that really stand behind the PG rating. I stand behind better writing. I hope WWE gets better writing. But for the most part, if somebody comes with a fucking filthy joke and it's done in an intelligent way where you have to actually look it up on Google in order to figure out what it is, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with jokes like that. If they're cutting shit like that, I'm fine with it. I thought it was funny. It was tasteless. It kind of falls into our show category, you know? So it's like, a lot of people didn't like it. And,
good stuff, but pretty shocking, I would say.
Unstoppable, yes.
Fucking Kobe Bryant. You can go Kobe Bryant on an NBA court or anything. Like, no, I'm pulling out that incident. That's what I'm doing. Can we edit this? No. I have something planned.
That's live TV. Sorry, dude.
And
if they were really smart, would have edited that. You're right. They have 17 to 90 seconds on a delay when they come back from a commercial break for live broadcasting. Mm-hmm. And 17 seconds is more than enough for WWE or somebody in the truck to realize, whoa, that joke is a little too rated R right there. But instead, they listened to the joke, they probably laughed, and let it through. That's exactly what happened. Because fast they caught Brock Lesnar saying, fuck you, or fuck off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was quick stuff.
Right, there's somebody with their finger on the trigger the whole time. So WWE willingly let that joke go through. They knew what was doing.
So now, Randy Orton came back and, you know, squashed Slater or whatever, but obviously, he's going to take a spot. It would seem like he's lined up to take Dorito's spot. And what's your thoughts on that? Is that a plus or a minus? We're talking Randy Orton and Del Rio, and seems like he's pretty much going to push him out of the way and be the guy. You know, Del Rio just beat Santino, and it seems like they'll put him right back towards that mid-card thing and put Randy Orton right back on the main push. But and what do you think? I don't know.
He's just back. Give me a month, and I'll tell you where I stand with him. Because I know Joey's kind of enjoying him. And obviously, before he got busted on his wellness policy strike, Randy Orton looked like he was going out there and trying again, which is something that really infuriated the hell out of Joey and even myself, is when you know that a guy just doesn't care to be out there, that he's just collecting a paycheck. And all of a sudden, before this, he was taking bumps against Sheamus and stuff like, or not Sheamus, Ziggler, you know, and he was having a great match. But once again, it was Ziggler. Let's just throw that name out there, you know, hero. But at the same time, it's kind of like, okay, he started looking good for himself, and now he got hit with the wellness policy. Now he's back. Let's see what he's got. You know, with this match with Heath Slater, it was a fine match for what it was. But we're also talking about a guy whose entire gimmick has been going out there and getting the shit kicked out of him by old people. So, I mean, you know, for the most part, yes, Heath Slater sells. That's his job.
Literally. Two pretty stiff clotheslines out of Orton.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I'm still going to wait. I'm going to wait a month before I start making judgments and accusations and stuff like that, because I hope. I mean, I for one, don't want anybody to just come in there and suck the life out of wrestling. Of course not. You know, Randy Orton's done that to us before, but I'll give him the better of the doubt. So.
Yeah. I just feel like it's going to be him or somebody else, and I think he's going to take, you know, Del Rio's spot, and that's the only reason that Del Rio won't have that spot, because they have Randy Orton to replace him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could be.
So, then they had, again, the Christian Jericho and Miz and Ziggler with no really, like, forewarning that Jericho was going to be a face, and it's just like, well, these guys are in there, and kind of confusing, and then, you know, they ended it with the, you know, Ziggler hitting him with the briefcase, and, you know, because I'm watching the whole thing going, so is this four heels or what's going on? Because I didn't even know Christian was a face.
Yeah, Christian's been a face since he came back and won the title. And
it's not over.
Sadly. I'm the only one in the audience hearing that. And, and Chris Jericho obviously became a face, insta-face, with the check on Dolph Ziggler the other week, you know? So it's like, yeah, that was kind of the way that they were doing it. Miz coming back out. He's been kind of strong in his promos lately, still waiting to see what they're going to do with him. You know, so it's kind of nice seeing a lot of these guys coming back at the same time. But, you know, just want to see what's happening. Yeah, Jericho and Christian, don't get me wrong. I absolutely loved seeing them together again. I liked them as a tag team, always did. You know, I've liked them almost as much as a tag team as Christian and Regal and Christian and Edge, of course, you know, back during the E days. But, yeah, that's exactly what it is. I don't think anybody's expecting Christian or Chris Jericho become main contenders at this point. If anything, they're the guys that have the ability and the credibility to make younger guys, in this case The Miz, in this case Dolph Ziggler, look even better for beating them, you know?
Yeah. Sure. I just was really unsure of that going through it. You know, are we going four heels? We're obviously turning these guys, which, you know, kind of obvious, but in the same token, just wasn't a lot of build, so it left me kind of feeling awkward. Like, I don't know what. All right, well, like a lot of WWE, I guess we'll see you next week when I.
Right. You
know. Then they had a Tensei Kid, and honestly, I don't know. I think a lot of people are too hard on Tensei. I really don't have a problem with him. I think they brought in too many people at one time with the Crusher angle between him and they had Claudio was beating everybody, or
what
the fuck did we call him? They had Ryback destroying the world, and even, you know, Damian Sandow was just putting people to waste. And then, of course, you have your top guys, you know, whether it be a Triple H or a John Cena or a Brock Lesnar, and they're crushing people too. So it's like they stayed without a crusher for so long, and then they just introduced like six of them.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. It's just a lot of strong new guys coming in. And I think it's just it's too much of a good thing goes bad. You know, Brodus Clay, when he came in there. Brodus Clay, he was a crusher. He's still undefeated, right? Except for that technical DQ that he got.
Yeah.
But he's only, lost one match. You know, Tensei was huge when he first came in there. They were promoting him as the Cena killer, you know, and that kind of went over like a fart in church.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, and who else did you have in there that's doing it? The Ryback, Ryberg, you know, he came in there and he's kind of fizzling out. I'm seeing less and less of him, you know. So it's kind of like, I think they're just kind of throwing shit up against the wall and whoever can carry it is going to walk with it. Yeah, and Damian Sandow too, for the most part, although they did definitely beat the hell out of him with DX.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. Well, even though Shawn Michaels didn't land that super kick in his crookedest eye, he never landed that super kick.
The lazy eye was a little too lazy on Monday.
That was his leg.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, at the same time, it's kind of like, you know, they brought back Rey Mysterio, you know, last week, and I didn't see him on Raw. And people are like, oh, he's a SmackDown guy. I'm like, no. Rey Mysterio, there's a lot of guys that transcend Raw and SmackDown. And when you bring back somebody like Rey Mysterio, who's this big merchandise seller, I thought it was kind of funny that they didn't have him on Raw at all Monday. Did you notice that? I mean, this is a guy who's like one of the top sellers, man. So
let me see.
Oh, and another funny thing. I don't know if you caught this either. I know I'm talking like a banshee right now. I apologize.
Fine.
But another big thing, John Cena did not cut a promo on Monday either.
No.
No. You have to hear it.
Well, reading the SmackDown spoilers, which I won't get too deep into to ruin everybody's Friday, but, Ryback was on, so I would say as far as Ryback goes, he's more, they're trying to base him as more of a SmackDown guy, but Rey Mysterio wasn't on SmackDown either, so, you know.
Right. Exactly. So it's like, what is he, just a one shot in and he's gone? Or they want to bring him back for a program with Sin Cara or a program with Del Rio or what, you know?
Yeah, I'm not really sure what they're doing with him. I know I could read, too, from SmackDown, and we do get the opening match of Sheamus versus Tensei again. So let's see how, you know, the rematch of that goes, because I really like the first one.
I know Joey loves Tensei and stuff like that. And don't get me wrong, I love Prince Albert. You know, but that's who I enjoyed. I enjoyed Test and Albert. Albert, to me, will always be a tag team guy. Even when he was in Japan, some of his best matches was when he was working six ways. You know, he's a tag team guy. He's the guy you call in to clean out the fucking ring. I just never saw him as a singles guy. I really didn't, and it's not taking anything away from him. Obviously, you know, Joey knows him very well and stuff like that because he lives right up the block from him. But it's like, you know, I'm sorry, Joe. I'm sorry, world. I'm just not a huge supporter of single Tensei. You know what I mean? I want to see him in a tag team. I want him. He shouldn't have had a little Japanese guy coming out with him. Tensei should have been like following a guy like Christian or Cody Rhodes or somebody smaller. You know what I mean? He should have been the guy that came in there and said, "I'm going to fuck you up." You know? That's how Tensei was believable. You know? So I don't know.
Nah, understandable. I mean, I think most of it is booking. I think him personally could work fine. I know, you know, he gets a lot of criticism. Like, he still hasn't lost any weight. He's still fat. He still can't do this. And it's like, come on, man. He's fucking pretty huge. And I just think the booking isn't putting him right.
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. You know, when they were putting him and Cena together, I definitely did not want to see that. You know, not for the sake that Cena was going to lose or anything like that or win. Just for the sake of that, I just didn't see those two working well together. Tensei is going to be a guy that works up against somebody like a Rey Mysterio, works up against a Dolph Ziggler or a Daniel Bryan or a CM Punk, and they beat the hell out of them with their moves, with their quick kicks, with their submissions and stuff like that. And Tensei is a guy that wows the audience by breaking out of these holds and going, no. You know what I mean? He's the guy you know, that's how you're supposed to book the guy. You don't book him up against unstoppable Super Fruity Pebble. I'm the Marine. You know, that's not how you book him. Maybe down the road, if something was to happen, that'd be a different story. You know, like maybe if John Cena came in there and saved somebody that was smaller from Tensei whooping the shit out of him, that would be one thing. But that's not how they did it. You know, they just threw them against each other like, oh, well, surprise opponent, Johnny Ace, guess who it is? It's Tensei. What?
Yeah.
No, I absolutely agree. I think they booked him horribly. Booked him horribly. what's the point of taking these big guy – look, and I love big guy matches. Don't get me wrong. But there's a thing about subtlety. There's a way to build it up. So you want to see two huge motherfuckers clobbering the crap out of each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People were in love with the idea of Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg until they found out that they were both leaving. But, I mean, if you thought about it before that, people were like, whoa, that's going to be a hell of a match. Two big motherfuckers swinging on each other until somebody drops dead. Phenomenal. Book it. But,
yeah, which is where I think Tensei and Sheamus did really well together, and I guess we'll see again on Friday how that one goes. But you know, it did work.
Have you ever had these Reese's Pieces Eskimo bars?
No, I have not.
What would you do? Klondike bar, Klondikes. Oh,
Klondike with Reese's Pieces in them.
Oh, so good.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
It's like
definitely sounds good.
It's a layer of peanut butter ice cream, and there's some peanut butter chunks in there, and then there's a layer of peanut butter, and there's more peanut butter ice cream, and then there's chocolate on the outside. It's really good.
I'm going to have to pick those up. Jesus. I'm not even that big on ice cream. That sounds fucking awesome. you got to spice things up. I mean, now next thing we have, and I really don't have much to say about it at all, is the fucking Big Show versus John Cena, which fucking results. I don't give a shit about any of that. And it results in a SummerSlam match with Punk, Cena, and Big Show. Three-way. Like, oh, fucking awesome. I don't give a shit about that.
Nope. Seriously. That's horrible. Oh, look, it's Cena and Punk and Big Show. The only thing I'm hoping for is that Punk retains. That's it.
I guess, yeah. I mean, we're all set for him dropping the belt, but now it's like, fucking please, not now. Jesus Christ.
Right.
Big Show's going to punch people.
And that's the thing, too. You know, the only person that's going to be selling that match is Punk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but awkwardly, because, you know, you got your Cena fans, no one is cheering for the Big Show. And then you have Punk, who's really not fully selling the fans right now, but he's not, you know, anti-fan, but he's kind of like, you know, less so than he was. It's going to come off really awkward and probably put Cena over bigger than he was, which is not good.
All right. I don't know, man. It's tiring. It's tiring because we've seen that feud for years. It's tiring because Big Show has been worn out. And it just goes to prove that no matter your size, you can be worn out through goofy-ass storylines. And that's the perfect example of Big Show. You know, he just lost all his credibility. I don't look at Big Show, wow, that's a scary dude. I look at Big Show and go, what an idiot.
Yeah,
that's horrible.
He's
7 foot whatever. Right, he weighs 500 pounds. He's got these size 29 feet and shit. I should be looking at Big Show and going, geez, man, I hope he never hit me. But I don't see that. I don't see that. All the times that they've ruined the guy, I just don't see him. Like, I can't believe it. When Brock Lesnar comes out there and beats the hell out of Cena, I can believe it. When Brock Lesnar comes out there and supposedly beats the hell out of Triple H, I can believe it. I can get behind somebody like Brock Lesnar. He looks like a monster. He acts like a monster. You know, when Sheamus gets out there and he broke kick somebody out of the clear blue, I can believe that'll knock your fillings out. You know, it's but Big Show, there's just nothing believable about him.
No, and he's bigger.
Yeah.
Isn't you can't get lighter and bigger. You can't.
Right. He's a huge dude.
It's fucking brutal, man. And this is why I don't give a shit. They need to fucking get rid of some of these people. Like Joey says, bus flip. If that's what needs to happen. Put him on the right side and make some strong right turns. That's all I got to say. You know?
Hey, guys, so we're going to go off this cliff here.
I'm not handling this turn as well as I usually, you know. Whatever works, but. So that's the WWE. Let's hope Triple H gets his head caved in at SummerSlam, and I don't know how much other matches I'm really looking forward to. But this coming weekend, they got ROH has a tag tournament coming up, because they have the whole open tag titles with what happened with Kenny King on TNA. So they gave like Rhett Titus like a mystery partner type thing, which they haven't said yet. Then they have the rest of them. So, which came from that, a Briscoe's promo, which I always love listening to. And to premise the promo I'm going to play, what they're doing is they're out in the field with some high-powered shotgun, and Jay Briscoe is pulling discs out for Mark to shoot, and they all have the tag teams written on them that are in the tournament. And then he wings them into the air, and then Mark shoots him. And I think they're one of the more exciting people to listen to. Their promos to me are just hilarious. They're obviously better with a little visual, but I figure I'll play it audio wise and, you know, see how it comes off.
For sure.
All right.
Reach for the sky, boy. Like I tried to tell y'all last time, if you're tired of the Briscoes being the tag team champions, you might as well get a pillow. Because y'all about to be some tired some bitches. And if you're tired of the Briscoe shooting guns on YouTube, you might as well just click this bitch off right now.
This Saturday evening in Baltimore, in the Mr. New Burns Arena, we got a little tag team tournament for the tag team championships. Now, what we're about to do here is a little demonstration. This here is a Mossberg Model 500A shotgun.
Chicken ain't worried about what kind of shotgun it is, but like you said, we're going to do a demonstration for y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the first team in the ROH Tag Team Title Tournament, the Bravado Brothers.
Hey, don't you mean the Goobers?
Hell yeah, I mean the Goobers. Here goes another one. The next team entered into the ROH Tag Team Title Tournament, managed by Mr. Peckerhead Martini, the Guardians of Truth.
Wearing that big stupid looking mask on your head. It looks like black condoms.
Come on, Jethro. Learn your lines. Guardians of Truth, get out of here. Damn, Chicken. Guardian of Truth liable squeak by with a roll up on Chicken.
You got to say all that.
And his non-shooting ass.
You got to say all that because they going to...
The next tag team entered into the ROH Tag Team Title Tournament, Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander, also known as Boom Keisha and Shaniqua.
Send them flying!
Damn, Chicken.
Another one bites the dust. All right.
The next tag team in the ROH Tag Team Title Tournament, the Young Bucks. They are the high flyers of the tournament. So since they're the high flyers, we're going to let them bitches fly.
Let them fly! Them girls, them pretty boys. Yep.
The next team in the ROH Tag Team Title Tournament, Rhett Titus and a mystery partner. Who may the mystery partner be? Is it Osama Bin Laden?
No, he dead.
Is it Uncle Jeffro? You're going to have to tune in and find out. The next team is the Blackout, making their debut, Ruckus in the Black Jeans. And I hope we get y'all boys first round so we can break y'all little bitches into ROH.
He just wiped them out.
We'll see you in Baltimore Friday night. Don't miss it.
Oh, by the way, I got two words for you. See y'all in Baltimore.
Oh, fucking fantastic.
They are still serious looking dudes, man. Seriously. If he hasn't had the chance to look at a Briscoe brother before, it doesn't matter. Jay or whichever. You know, Mark or Jay. Don't matter, because they're both toothless. They're both scary looking. I really think that they've done some real good in WWE if they could have curbed themselves just a little bit. You know, because I think that they would have came in there as these just dirty, hometown, don't give a fuck, You know what I mean? People would have gotten behind them. Even, I mean, obviously the indie fans would. But, I mean, people would have gotten them just because they would have been believable jerk heels. They remind you of every southern hillbilly wife-beaten wearing, you know, good old boy. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, they're tremendously entertaining, man. From shooting things in the fucking out in the field, you know, with other tag teams' names on it and talking shit and, you know, and his Jay's name for Mark, I guess the family nickname for Mark is Chicken. And I don't know where that came from, but they raise chickens that they kill and sell on the farm. And that's he never breaks that. Just, hey, Chicken, what the hell, Chicken? You know?
Perfect.
And they're down in other teams, and he's still, hey. Pulling knives on each other in promos. It's just awesome stuff.
You know what? I could actually see them with Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt, not FCW. That would be a hell of a tag team. Like, if those were his Bray Wyatt followers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Briscoe. Oh, that could be interesting because the Briscoes have great promos. But I could imagine somebody with Husky's ability. Yeah. Husky's ability on the mic, you know, Bray Wyatt's ability on the mic. I'm like, man, that could be an evil triangle. You know?
I can't help but think that might be where they got the idea. They've looked at the Briscoes many a times in ROH with their steel-clad contracts. But, you know, they've looked at them several times. And, you know, Husky Harris was a Corvette with a fucking – or a Mack truck with a Corvette in it. Or I don't know what the fuck they were using them as. But it wasn't this. And then all of a sudden it's like this came out of the blue and it's like, oh, that's kind of like what the Briscoe's been doing for fucking 8 years.
Yeah, I could see it. But I mean, there's a lot of people older than the Briscoes that had that kind of mentality though too. I mean,
sure, of course. Yeah. So. I'm just saying as far as, you know, recently and you never know.
Right. Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. Everybody steals from everybody on the fucking wrestling world. Isn't that kind of how it works? You find something that you steal it. And you revise it just enough so it's your own, you know?
Yeah. I guess that's just part of the business.
Look at what they did. Zack Ryder was popular in WWE. So what does TNA do? Robbie E.
Yeah.
You know? It's tons of shit out there like that. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's your off wrestling? What's your thoughts on the old Chick-fil-A thing? Because I might be behind or something because – I originally saw it as like Chick-fil-A was supporting, you know, some kind of foundations and stuff. They were completely against gay marriage and they were, you know, putting money into that. So then everybody was like, oh, fuck Chick-fil-A. And I'm just like, I don't, you know, kind of indifferent. You know, I mean, you are what you are, but it just, and now it seems like there's like an enormous amount of people that are like posting self eating Chick-fil-A. Like it's the thing to do. So I don't.
It's become the Republican battle cry. It really has. First off, my opinion of the corporation is that as a corporation, you should have no religious or political agendas openly. Like if the CEO wants to go and vote Republican, that's fine. That's the CEO voting Republican. But to sit there and say your entire company made up of how many thousands of people are all of a sudden – everybody that works there is anti-gay. What if you have gay people that work for Chick-fil-A? Now what happens? These people are getting ostracized because they work for that company? It's horrible. I think it's absolutely stupid of the company for them to do that. But it's becoming this Republican battle cry. It's becoming this old church going, you know, got to fear the gay man because the gay man's coming to take your women away. What? So.
But, and that's the thing that's weird to me is the fact that, you know, I mean, they said it on the Stern show, too. Like you said, you know, like you're saying, it's a company. You sell chicken. That's your only business. There's no morality to you selling chicken to people. Why do you need to? What are you doing? It's crazy. But, yeah, I mean, you say Republican battle cry and all that stuff, and, you know, they're doing this, and they're really going to stand against gay marriage for eating a brand of chicken?
Now all of a sudden, eating a brand of chicken is a lifestyle choice, Jay. Eating a brand of chicken is a lifestyle choice. Who do you support? Well, I'm all about Brown's Chicken.
Yeah. I would have thought this whole thing would have been over Church's Chicken, if anybody. Now, no. Chick-fil-A out of the blue. I don't know. Well,
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
If anyone does want, like, an alternative to Chick-fil-A, because I'm really not understanding of this whole, this whole situation is completely weird to me, but the Southern-style chicken sandwich at McDonald's is almost identical to a Chick-fil-A sandwich, and I enjoy both. So, you know, it's your call.
I'm not a big chicken connoisseur.
No.
No, I like, I guess when it comes to chicken, I'll go with the Aldi flat breast.
Okay.
From Aldi's. They give you like a bag of chicken for like $5.
I don't really frequent Aldi's much, so I don't know about their flat breast.
You know what Aldi's is?
No, I know what Aldi's is. We got one over there in I think Tom's River, but
yeah, it's the fucking cheap grocery store.
So that's the best chicken you got?
Yeah.
Oh well, shit.
No, actually, Brown's chicken is okay for the city. Like Brown's chicken represents Chicago. Church's chicken, I was never a big fan of. I actually like a lot of. There's like a lot of individual places down in Boys Town off of Broadway and Belmont. There's a Greek chicken place. I forget what it's exactly called, but they literally just throw hundreds and hundreds of chicken onto this giant open fryer, and they just cook them by the hundreds. And they literally go that fast. It's delicious. And it's made with like Greek seasonings and spices. So there's a lot of onions, a lot of like cilantro kind of stuff on there, sour cream. You know, it's very good, but yeah, that's
more of a grilled chicken type feel.
Right, exactly. I mean, when it comes to like, what's your favorite chicken that's done by a fast food joint? It'd probably be a toss up between Popeyes and Brown's. You know, so
yeah, I don't know. Me, I like the, I guess more mom and pop, but some of them are a little more, you know, widespread. But ghetto fucking chicken, the greasy fucking, you know, you need like a stack of napkins on your lap while you're eating this stuff, chicken, like chicken galore, chicken holiday, like these just straight up still have buckets of chicken.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I like that. Chicken and ribs joint. If it says and ribs on the title, I could probably vouch for them.
Chicken and ribs. Yes.
You know, we don't have so many of the N waffles joints around here, but they probably do good for themselves as well.
Yeah.
But another off wrestling topic, figure I'd ask you because I have a pretty strong opinion on it. But the Batman trilogy, you know, outside of this retard that shot things, what's your thoughts on the new Batman trilogy?
Didn't watch it. Didn't see the newest one.
Of them? I mean, I haven't seen the newest
any? Batman Begins. I saw Batman Begins, and I saw The Dark Knight. And those were great. You know, I mean, Batman Begins was a little hokey, but for the most part, it was an okay start for the new relaunch of the series. Obviously, Heath Ledger playing the Joker is something that everybody's raved about. I, too, rave about. I thought it was a great fucking film.
Yep.
He was very believable as a character. But Christian Bale is Batman?
Just me, the whole thing, like, right now, what they pitched is because I'm, like, anti this series. First off, I thought Batman Begins was the worst Batman movie ever made. and then they went with, you know, this next one, which I, like, before watching it, everyone's just hyping, and they're like, oh, there's no better Joker. And I'm like, is Jack Nicholson a shit now? Is that really what we're going with?
Yeah.
And then it became, oh, it's dark, it's really, everything's dark. And I'm like, well, I mean, you know, Michael Keaton is Batman, and, you know, Jack Nicholson is the Joker. The Joker dies falling off of a building, laying on the pavement with the thing in his pocket, still laughing. Like, I thought that was pretty fucking dark. This is before all the, you know, the fluorescent lights in the Batman series and that type of stuff. To me, I thought, That was pretty dark. Now we're going to go, no, not like that old corny shit. Like, this is dark stuff. I'm like, wait a minute.
I will say that. I will say the original Batmans and stuff like that, were the imagery was beautiful. The way that they designed Gotham City was really, it was almost gothic. you know, from the get-go. Right. Everything had that real, like, steampunk kind of feel to it. It was, everything was, like, really rusty and steel.
Right.
There was a lot of steel on everything. And every time you saw brick, it was wet from the rain. And it was just very dreary setting. It was a very good Gotham City in the original Batman. I thought so, anyways.
Sure. And the thing is like, no, I don't doubt for 1 second, because I did watch the second one. And, yeah, the Joker is portrayed fantastic. I mean, his whole thing is crazy. I mean, but that was great scripting and great acting by Heath Ledger. Christian Bale is the main fucking character, and he sounds like Triple H to that fucking movie. Like, yeah, it's like, I'm here to take back the kid. Or like, just come on, man. Just cut it out. Like, that should have.
I hate the poo-poo on Jack Nicholson on this one, but he is not my second favorite Joker. My first favorite Joker is simply, I honestly would have to say, is Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill was the perfect voice for Joker. And I know you get into the cartoon series and stuff like that, but if you remember in the 90s when we were watching the cartoons when we were growing up, those cartoons were dark as fuck.
Oh, no, I mean, the cartoon series was really good.
I mean, the ones when we were growing up, not the new stuff that they have on the Disney Channel now. I'm talking
about
the original.
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, man, Mark Hamill's voice as the Joker, his laugh. He has the best laugh of Joker ever. Like, even when I read the comic books, Jay, I only heard Mark Hamill's laugh in my head. You know, not Jack Nicholson's, not Heath Ledger's. Definitely Mark Hamill's. Mark Hamill had the voice. And I mean, obviously the storyline was completely different because it was a cartoon series for the most part, but I thought it was very good. But as far as the way, which one was the best Joker, fucking Luke Skywalker gets it all the way, man.
Well,
so.
Dude, I mean, that's your call. But again, I just don't, I think this series is overrated for the fact of dude is just completely horrible as Batman, in my opinion. I don't know. I don't like his voice, and I think if your voice sucks as a character, how much percentage is that of your acting?
Right.
What? Oh, I like the way he walks. His voice sucks, but the way he walks really sells it for me. Like, oh, what?
But is it really Christian Bale's fault, or is it the director saying, "Yeah, that's a good sound. Yeah, keep that up. That's perfect, Christian. You're doing a great job. That's what people want to see."
Did they really say, "Hey, have you ever watched the WWE? We would like you to sound a little more like Triple H, that guy." Yeah. Have you seen The Chaperone? By chance, Christian.
I don't know if I want to blame Christian Bale, because he looks, he's got the Bruce Wayne part down pat. He looks just like him, in my opinion.
Yeah, only five people have done that.
Yeah, well, right. I mean, he looks like a pretty boy. I can believe him being a rich, uppy, pretty boy. I mean, he's Christian Bale. Now, as far as the voice goes, you know, that's completely the director's fault. That's completely the sound guy's fault. Those are the people that sit there and say, "Oh, no, that's a good Batman voice. It's scary. That's what people want to hear."
Yeah, I don't know. And I haven't seen a new one yet, but I'm just, like, so turned off by that. And a lot of times I fight the hype. So if, like, 8 million fucking people the first day see it and they're all fucking rejoicing in the streets, I'm like, I'm just never watching that. I don't care how good it is. Like, I just get annoyed by the overhype of things like that. So, but I don't know. That just my opinion on why I think it's not as good as, and, you know, a lot of the scripting is really good. I call this series Batman for Emos. And it's just kind of, it's kind of like the general theme on what I see come out of it, but you know, who knows?
Oh, you're dead up. Look how many fucking copycat. I mean, without talking about the obvious copycat, but look how many people are like, "Why so serious?" How long did that go on for? Pretty much until now, until the new Batman came out. You constantly see, like, little memes and everything else like that of people doing the Joker or making fun of Batman. I mean, it really became a big hit. The second movie was huge. The Dark Knight was huge. But,
I mean,
for the most part, it wasn't because of Batman. It was because of fucking Heath Ledger, you know?
Sure.
So.
Now, is this the only asshole copycat with the wrong color hair, or am I fucking off on that?
That's the only one I know of. I mean, if there's another story out there, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, I really wouldn't doubt it. I think I remember, I forget what I saw, but I think I remember somebody trying to rob a liquor store wearing, dressed up as the Joker, you know? So, I mean, it's not the first incident. I know that for a fact, but.
But, I mean, like, they kept saying, like, he dyed his hair like the Joker. Like, this fucking douche's hair is red.
And yeah, it was orange or whatever.
When was the Joker's hair red or orange or any of? Was it not green?
Yeah, it was always green.
I mean, you're more into the comics than I am, so you would know more than I do. I can only go off of all the movies I've seen and the cartoon. Like, it's
always
been
green.
Nowhere near the shade of red.
It's always been green. Maybe he was going for Bozo and they just fucked it up. I don't know.
Yeah, Bozo the Killer. That sounds less dangerous.
Maybe they're doing Pennywise. He wanted to be Pennywise.
Oh, well, yeah. It was, grow your hair out or something. I don't know. But, but yeah, man, I think that's about all I got. Covered a bunch of stuff. Had a great time. You got a commercial you could play? Because I know you got, some of your stuff.
Well, actually, I didn't have one pulled up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I sent you a message earlier. I figured. All right. Anyway.
I did check that out, but here, let me see if I got something right here. Here we
go.
Okay.
Listen to reference tape, every day singer.
All right.
All right.
Listen, motherfucker!
Listeners from our show have more class and don't do the same thing that they do.
If you can take a dick, you can take a joke. Joy numbers in. Anthony Thomas, wrestling super.
Have a good night. That's not called for. I'm really ticked off.
This show is crap.
Joy numbers in. Anthony Missionary, WWE champion.
Thanks a lot, Jim. What?
Brutus the Bird Beefcake.
Thank God for the wrestling soup who regularly kisses on that line and drags it to its bloody death.
The fan of good wrestling radio, what they're doing is utterly disrespectful.
Yeah, I'm mission in a fire,
what I 10:15 p.m. Thursday night, WrestlingSoup.com.
There we go.
There you go. So, yeah, man, thanks for coming on. Hope to have you back on in the future. Everybody out there, definitely check out Anthony's show tomorrow with Joey Numbers. And what more can I say, man? You hear about it every week when I plug it, and you should hear it every week when they do it on Thursday. So, again,
thank
man, thanks
much.
For coming on, homie.
No, much love, man. Thank you.
Absolutely. Great to have
you.
Even late, it's great to have you, man.
No, I'm sorry, man. Just got that time difference mixed up. But
crazy time zones.
We'll do it again soon.
Absolutely, man. Like I said,
right,
great
Jake.
To have you, and everybody check him out tomorrow night.
Thank you, man.
Good night, man. There you go. So that was Anthony Missionary Thomas from the Wrestling Soup. They're on 10:15 Eastern Standard Time tomorrow, and you can check them out because I do, and that's the fucking move. They're a funny show. They do a good thing over there. And there's no reason why you shouldn't be checking them out. You know, I had Joey on 2 weeks ago. I had Mitch on this week. I mean, it's the move. You check them out. Check out Two Moms, One Show on Tuesdays. Check me out next Wednesday. And you got only one day away from Wrestling Soup at 10:15. So you got a lot of stuff to listen to as far as I'm concerned. Generally... I think it's all pretty entertaining stuff on three very different levels. So I think you get a different taste of things every time you listen to one of these shows. So it's good stuff. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'll check you guys out next week, hopefully. And Anthony from over in overseas, he wants more. Well, you'll have to check the Wrestling Soup tomorrow. Two Moms, One Show on Tuesday, and me again on next Wednesday. So holla at me. Check you out next week. Peace.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
We're taking over. We're taking over. We're taking over.